studio, deep within the broadcasting multiplex of CBS Radio. This is the Rick Emerson Show.
Right, it's exactly what that is. Right there. Hello.
Why, greetings to you and salutations. It's 1 minute and 48 seconds after the hour of 11 in this, the month of May, in the year of our Lord, 2007. It is Memorial Day, and we are live. Thank you for coming by, and welcome to Day 12. It's 503-733-2970 on this holiday Monday. We're here, and I'm pretty sure... I think we are the only live people in the entire CBS cluster today. I can't guarantee. I know couples probably got somebody live. Probably today. I think there are some board ops lurking around. But I do believe we are the only live program in the entire CBS cluster on this Memorial Day because everyone else despises you. And not secretly. It's an open kind of despising. It's very on the surface. It's up front. There is no attempt to hide that fact. It's all right there to be seen. Hello, it's 503-733-2970, 503-733-2970. If you'd like to email us today, my microphone is bouncing up and down sort of uncontrollably. It's got this weird vibrating thing. Maybe there's some sort of fault line that's just sprung over. Hold on. All right, let's not get all of us. Let's just... There we go. Okay, it's freaking me out. The microphone just won't stay still.
Is it wiggling?
Get the spiders off me.
What?
It is. Now, see how it's...
Okay, I see that.
See how it's wobbling?
You're not crazy.
Is everybody else... Is it wobbling where you are? Is your microphone jiggling?
No.
Tim? Is your microphone jiggling back and forth? No, it's not. No, it's fine. It's just mine. Maybe it's the force of my radiant personality. Maybe I'm sending out effervescent waves of humor. And it's making the...
That's weird. It's still wiggling.
I know. That's what I'm saying. It's maybe some sort of a spook or specter. Maybe there's some sort of a poltergeist here. Poltergeist or noisy spirit. 503-733-2970 is our number today. And, of course, we always say now it is a holiday, so there's any number of people listening, any number of people not, any number of people working, any number of people not. Maybe people listening to us while their children suffer horrific injuries on a barbecue grill of some kind. Hello and greetings to all of you. If you would like to call us today, by God, we'll accept your calls. We'll take your calls gladly with luster and zeal. No problem. I mean, as much as the calls are never screened like in a regular day, they're going to be even less screened today. You're going to call, and you know what? You're not even going to get like, hello, I just, it, out of your mouth before Scotty just throws you right onto the air. So, you know, so we'll see how it works out. If you are lurking around the house today, if you are out on the road, we will welcome your phone calls on the, well, on whatever. We got a whole line of things to get to today as well. We'll do introductions and teases here in a second as well. Plus, if you are working for the man today, we'd like to hear from you as well. 503-733-2970, or you can email us, rick@rickemerson.com, with your comments, your clarifications, your conventions, your 2 cents, and your what have you. This microphone thing is really going to freak me out. I don't know whether it's a thing that it's always done. You know what it is? It's like when you buy a new car, and then you go out on the road, and suddenly you see that car everywhere. How about this? Have you ever been listening to a song, and I know you have, and then suddenly, and I think this happens to musicians more than to other people, but it happens to me sometimes. You ever listening to a song, and suddenly one instrument in the mix, suddenly you get, like the cowbell in Burning for You, that's an extreme example, but suddenly you'll notice one instrument in the song's mix, and then from then on, that's the only instrument you can really hear. Like sometimes, like you'll just notice a bass line or something in a song, and then for the rest of the song, all you can really fixate on is the bass line. That's exactly what this is like. Or a dripping faucet in the kitchen. That's probably a better analogy. Anyway, all right, I'm not going to touch the microphone. I'm just going to adjust it slightly and back away. All right. This is how you know it's going to be an exciting program. I'm spending 4 minutes at the top obsessing over the movement of my microphone. All right, it is 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Here's what's coming up today. CNN radio correspondent. I'd like to thank CNN, by the way, for sending home the one reporter who was talking about the issue I really did care about. There was one story that really was kind of interesting to me, but that's okay. We just won't talk about it. It is Memorial Day. Why would I possibly want to tell... This I actually found really interesting. Listen to what Amanda Moyer will not be talking about today on the program. Amanda Moyer will not be joining us from the CNN Center in Atlanta, even though I know the CNN Center is open, because that's where Ed McCarthy's at. Amanda Moyer from the CNN Radio Center in Los Angeles, in Atlanta, will not be joining us today to talk about troop care packages. Many groups, it says, are working to... This is a story. I'm going to read this tease now. That is a story you'll never get to hear the rest of. I'm going to read it, and you're going to say, hey, that's an interesting story. I'd like to hear more about it. It's not going to happen. Why? Amanda Moyer not going to be joining us today. Send her home. Many groups are working to send care packages to soldiers serving in the Middle East. CNN's Amanda Moyer, who won't be speaking with us today, spoke with one soldier who says when it comes to everyday items, he misses his deodorant the most. And I don't mean this in a sarcastic Eddie Haskell kind of way. I find this a really interesting story. Because you never know, well, first of all, I never know what you can send to soldiers overseas and what you can't. And we've said only half jokingly in the past that I wanted to just send him a lot of whiskey and porn. Because, I mean, what else is there to do over there? You just sit around and drink and pine for your girl back home or whatever. I'm unclear. The one guy who was here who was going over to Iraq said you can send them, but only if you stuff in the middle of a bunch of toilet paper or something. Like if you have, if you want to send somebody a pint of black velvet or whatever, you got to stick it between paper towels or something. I don't even really know what soldiers want. I don't know what they want. I don't know what you can send them. Can you just like go buy a bag of crap off the shelf at Safeway? Can you go buy a big thing of Pepperidge Farm cookies and then just send them to some guy in Iraq? I'd like to do so if you could. I'll never find out. I'll never find out. We'll never know. CNN doesn't want to. They don't want to deign to let us talk to Amanda Moyer. That's okay. Why would we want to hear about troops and how to take care of them on Memorial Day? It just doesn't make any sense. And yet they've got Steve Kastenbaum talking to us. God bless him. But they've got Steve Kastenbaum, who we booked just because I like him and I want to ask him about Star Wars. He thinks he's coming on about. I swear to Christ, Steve Kastenbaum at CNN is available to talk about the New Jersey economy. Who, apart from the people in New Jersey? Who cares about the New Jersey economy? No one. No one. That's the answer. A lot of people care about the troops. Don't want to talk about them. Not on Memorial Day. That's just crazy. Anywho, Steve Kastenbaum will be joining us today to talk about the New Jersey economy. And then Star Wars. CNN correspondent, political fireball, Bob Costantini will be joining us today. Also, CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop. Jim Roop's going to weigh in on one of our snuff watches. We're going to do a snuff watch a little later on, and then 2 o'clock hour, Roop will weigh in on the focus, the object, the subject of this snuff watch. CNN radio correspondent Ed McCarthy going to be joining us as well. Say, how else do we have? Well, we'll talk to Scotty J about some crap as well. I honest, and don't tip me off. I don't know anything about it. I slept through the bulk of Scotty J's appearance on Miles Around, formerly known as The Fuel Show, this weekend. I didn't hear it. I didn't listen. I don't know how it went. And I wanted to hear from the beginning. So I woke up just long enough to send Dennis a text message. I woke up and picked up my phone as pleased to be taping today's show. Send Rick. Fell back asleep. So we thought Scotty would find out how that went. Today's top five. I have assembled the top five we meant to do on Friday. Top five songs from the day Star Wars was released. Top five songs from the day Star Wars was released. May 25th, 1977. We'll get to that as well. So, I have some other things I can see. There's really no point, though. We got a double snuff watch coming up today. Big news file. Bunch of stuff. People calling today about God knows what. It is Memorial Day. We are here. We are live. We are joined today, as always, by the lovely and talented Sarah Cadillan. Let me ask you this.
Yes.
You are wearing a yellow and black...
I'm wearing a terrible outfit today.
No. You look fine.
Okay.
You're wearing a yellow and black. That bracelet doesn't really go. That red bracelet.
It's red.
Uh-huh. You're wearing a yellow and black stripy shirt. Now, let me ask you this. I'm just going to say the obvious. Now, do you get bumblebee comments about it? Because I don't. You'll notice that I have in no way have I made a bumblebee comment about that.
Well, you just did.
But now I know, but only to note that I haven't done it.
No.
Because for all the world, I swear to God, you look like a bee. And do people say that, or do they just know? Is that an observation that's so tired now that no one makes it anymore?
No, I've only had this sweater for about a year.
All right.
And nobody's actually ever brought it up.
Especially for someone who bicycled to work today. Oh.
I did not ride today. I rode this weekend, but I knew that there would be parking spots today.
I didn't ride this weekend at all. Not one bit. Didn't even look at my bicycle.
I saw you walk in today with your little bicycling gloves
on. That's what I did. You know,
I still need to check for the bike because it could all be a facade.
There's no facade. I would not lie about helping the handicapped. That's not a thing that I would do. I do a lot of things. I wouldn't... I'm not the guy who steals the March of Dimes box. I wouldn't do that. I didn't ride at all this weekend. I did ride today, even though I slept in, and even though it put me here at like 10:15.
Well, because you knew none of the bosses are here.
It's true. Well, what do I care? I really should. I didn't even need to bathe, really. All right. Tim,
I didn't.
Well done. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification today. Hello, Tim.
Hello.
I'm happy to be here. Now, is your computer working?
It is, yes.
Why wasn't your computer working when you came in today?
Because it's a holiday.
It's always on a holiday, and it's always your machine.
And usually the fridge is broken, too, but that's still working.
So far. We came in today, and I guess we have to thank Kristen Bowie, who noticed it this morning.
Thank you, Kristen, by
really,
the way.
Seriously. I'm
that is beyond the call of duty.
It is true. I'm going to say this.
Phone call.
If I had, like, if I could just clone everybody here, you know, just the people in this room, and then we get, like, five Scotties and five Kristens, mm-hmm. we could just take over this planet. We really could. If I could clone that girl,
she's very resourceful.
I don't mean to make her sound freakish. I really don't. But who does that? Who, like, before our program, because Kristen Bowie, she's here, and she runs Stephanie Miller and then Dennis Miller, just to sort of make sure that they function, you know, smoothly, because in the past there were issues with the morning drive program. So she, and I don't mean it, I mean just in terms of job description, for most of the time doesn't have any responsibility for our shows. It's two separate shows. She does the morning shift. It's like a Morning Sam, Morning Ralph kind of a thing. She does the morning shift. We come in. We do the midday shift. Who knew that she went around the studio every morning and checked to see that our computers were working in advance of our arrival here? And then she discovered that yours wasn't, and she summoned an engineer who actually appeared.
Yep. So thank you, Will. We're coming in on a holiday.
Seriously. So
there are many people to thank today for having this computer working.
Always your computer, though.
It is.
It's never mine. It's never Sarah's. It's always yours. Always on a day when no one's here to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
But they fixed things today. God bless them. I'm sorry. I didn't mean. So what are we working on?
Oh, and I do want to thank the guys from Movement who got me a screwdriver out of their...
What do you mean?
Their Hummer.
What do you mean the people at Movin'?
The kids who work at Movin', holding the T-shirts and whatnot, they got me a screwdriver.
Oh, the promotions people.
Yeah.
You confused me for a second when you were talking about the people who work at Movin'.
People who work at Movin'.
Yes, they're
never record things.
They fold T-shirts.
Yeah. And quite nicely, too.
Yes.
I've never asked for a folded T-shirt.
I didn't know what you were talking about there.
Oh, okay. Well, Lindsay Lohan is busted for DUI shortly after crashing on the Sunset Strip. This is rehearsed. You just don't crash on the Sunset Strip. I mean, of all the streets to crash on...
Well, you can't be going fast enough.
Right.
I mean, because it's always clogged, right? There's no... Because it was like on a Saturday or Friday or something?
Probably not so much anymore since they closed down Tower Records.
It was like 5:30 in the morning.
When you say that you don't crash on the Sunset Strip, do you mean it's just too perfect?
Well, I mean, if you're going to crash somewhere, crash on a side street. Don't crash on the most famous street in the world.
I think that's why they call it a crash.
Perhaps so.
I don't know that it's planned.
Dick Cheney addresses the graduates of West Point. We'll have a few sound bites. A giant whale washes up on the Oregon coast. And pigs raise havoc in a foreclosed home on the... Is that on the coast? No, that was in Eagle Creek. And noted actor, comedian, and an old friend of ours, a KOTK alumnus, all pass away over the weekend.
Well, so there you go. Gotta make it a big up for everybody today. I just have to say this. It is really appropriate, actually, because, you know, we'll talk a little about it later on. We do the Snuff Watchers. A guy we used to work with, as they used to say of Criswell, departed our dimension this weekend. And because he did work in radio and as such was underpaid and underappreciated for most of his career, he would, in some black kind of way, appreciate the fact that his Snuff Watchers were on a holiday when no one will hear it. That really is the radio way to go out. Being mourned by Good Morning Akron. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Why is Bill the Science Guy calling us? Well, he's not anymore. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for hanging on. Way to be loyal. All right, there you go. Let's see. Oh, I'm not even prepared for this one. Hold on. Let's welcome
Andy
on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Good morning, Rick. How are you today?
What's up, brother?
Hey, I woke up in a panic today because I have to work today and I drive around all day and woke up in a panic because I thought you weren't going to be on the radio and just wanted to thank you.
Well,
and,
now
my day is going to go well.
Now, what kind of... Now, you're a delivery driver?
Yes, I am.
What kind of delivering can you do?
Food.
Are you like a Schwann's guy?
Exactly, yeah.
Are you a Schwann's guy?
I sure am.
Bam!
Look at that. picked it right out of the... You know, let me just say this about Schwann's. You guys have some of the best ice cream, and I'm not a big ice cream fan. I don't... A little bit of ice cream goes a long way with me. Every so often, I get in an ice cream mood. Like, if I... for some reason, after I've been napping, I don't know what that's all about, but some reason, if I take a nap in the middle of the day, wake up, want ice cream. You guys have got fantastic ice cream at Schwann's.
Well, thank you.
Anyway.
Yeah, I've put on about 4 inches on my waist because of it. So.
Excellent. Well, no, it's a fine company, sir. My parents, when I was growing up, for about 6 months, I don't know why, but for about 6 months, my parents got Schwann's crap delivered to our house. It was great. And then my parents also went through that. You guys don't deliver milk, do you?
No, we deliver everything except milk and eggs, pretty much.
Are there still people that deliver milk? Are there still companies that do that? I say, looking at Tim, who, of course, would have no notion of whether that happens. Are there still people that deliver milk, sir?
Yeah, down here, out of Salem, I know there's Curly's Dairy, and they do deliver milk.
Excellent.
Milk and cheese.
Fantastic. All right, thank you, Eddie. Enjoy the rest of your day. Be safe. Thank you for listening, sir.
I sure will. Thank you.
There you go. All right. Do one more. Hello, Rick Emerson Show. Hi, how can I help you today?
Okay, gang. Here I am sitting at home on Memorial Day. I'm usually driving my truck, but they gave me the day off, and I'm starting to regret it because there's nothing on TV. I've already read the New York Times. I quit smoking weed. I've already read The Economist, and then I think, there is still a form of entertainment available for me if those guys showed up for work. Bless you. Bless you, Sarah. Bless you, Tim Riley. Bless you, Rick Emerson.
That's what we do, sir.
That's wonderful. I'm just sitting here at home with absolutely nothing else to do, so thank you for being on the radio.
Awesome.
Your gratitude is payment enough, sir.
Enjoy.
Right, thank you. Enjoy your day. All right, there you go. Fantastic.
You're right. Now I'm pretty stoked to be at work for that guy.
See, that's what I'm saying. There are people, there are obviously people who listen to us when they are in some regular cubicle job, who maybe they're listening to us, maybe they're not, maybe they're in the car doing some. Can I just say this also? And I can, because I got a lot of time to fill today and there's nothing going on. Today's one of those days when every discussion thread in my head will be expanded. Nothing will be delivered in the collapse form.
I won't stop you.
Whenever I start to make that observation about maybe somebody's listening to us, maybe they're not, you know what happens? In my head, I hear that that everybody's free to wear sunscreen thing. Maybe you'll get married. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
That song was very popular just before Columbine.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe you...
And all of a sudden, he just disappeared after Columbine.
Do you think there's a connection somehow?
I don't know.
All right. It is true that you don't hear it anymore. I mean, I guess there's no format left that would really play it.
I've heard it on Movin' before, along with that graduation song.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would Movin' play it?
Maybe it was when it was mixed in.
Charlie might play that. Movin', it's not rhythmic enough to be... can't shake your buttocks to that song.
Maybe I heard it when it was mixed in 107.5. Thanks.
Maybe. Wait, it wasn't mixed 107.5. Oh, wait, yeah, it was. So embarrassing. I can't even keep track. You need, like, one of those evolution of man, like, hieroglyph charts on the side of a cave to keep track. That's right. Well, do you know that this station, 970, you know that this was actually the beat at one point? I believe this was actually a rhythmic alternative station.
So Godfrey used to be on this station.
Arthur Godfrey was not playing rhythmic alternative.
Maybe right. That's why he was canceled.
I'm Arthur Godfrey, and here's Sisters with Voices. This station, back when Court of Court and Fatboy, Court used to do a morning show on this frequency, 970, and I'm pretty sure that it was an alternative, either alternative rock or alternative rhythmic, like it was an actual live music station with DJs, this frequency. Now, I mean, that was not like 20 years ago, that was like 9 years ago, maybe. So, all right, you know, Craig Adams would know the answer to all of this stuff. All right, that's a guy, not to be morbid, but because a little later on we'll be talking about the passing of a friend of ours. You know, Craig Adams, one of those guys, he's not an old person, but he's getting up there. You know, he's not a spring chicken anymore, one might say. Craig Adams is a local DJ who knows more about radio in Portland than anybody I have ever met in my life. Really, and it is saying something that I think in terms of actual radio content and DJs and formats, his knowledge probably outstrips Bruce Agler's, which is saying something. Bruce probably has more technical knowledge. But in terms of, like, content and who worked where, I think Craig is probably the undisputed champ. What was my point? We need to archive that guy's brain, though. Like, at some point before he dies, we need to offload the entire content of his brain onto a DVD somewhere so it's accessible. These are the things that plague my mind. All right. Well, I had... Is the music going away? Ah, there we go. All right. Well, we'll break here in just a second, because even with nothing to talk about, I am getting really behind. I have all of these observations to make, and I fight the urge. See, sometimes when there's a holiday, I'm tempted to save certain observations for the next day, but screw that. If they weren't listening today, that's their fault. If they tune in tomorrow, they don't care enough to listen today, they won't get to hear my observational jewels. They'll take tomorrow's jewels instead. Let me just say this, and I didn't get a chance to really do my opening. Is that I just scripted up, so I'm just going to make a few random observations.
I had to drop my pen.
My random observations. A, did anybody bicycle or go downtown this weekend and see all the goths? You know what I'm talking about?
No, I was downtown, too.
There was some goth convention in town this weekend, and I know I'm not the only one who saw them, because Sneathan was sending me text messages like, go downtown right now, there's a goth convention. There was... Look, here's the thing about being a goth. As much as I love goth women, and I really do, and everybody knows, it's not like a fetish or something, but I love goth girls, and I know a lot of dudes who love goth girls. As hot as I find gothic girls, I could never be a goth, because it's just stupid. I mean, it's just dumb. I mean, look, I suppose one can argue that dressing up like Boba Fett is equally dumb, and you know, and which is fine. There's a place for dumb behavior. You know, it doesn't matter. As Lester Bang says, you know, when it stops being dumb, then it stops being real. You know, so that's fine. I don't even mean dumb as a bad thing. I don't even mean dumb because there's a lot of things I engage in that are just big dumb fun. I'm the first to admit that. Can I just tell you, I sat in an empty warehouse-like office building with a bunch of drunken reprobates this weekend who were watching all three of the first three Star Wars films in a row while drinking Jack Daniels out of a bottle. Okay? That's what my Saturday was. It was me and Aaron and Scott Daly and Clyde and Diana from downtown and Jason Crump and Fatboy from Court and Fatboy, everybody getting more and more drunk, everybody getting more and more loud and reckless, watching the entire first Star Wars trilogy back to back to back. All right? That's dumb. But you know what? God damn, it was great. It was wonderful. It was glorious. So when I say something is dumb, no, this is not a knock as such. I'm just saying this, though. I was bicycling. It must have been... God, well, it must have been Friday afternoon then, because I don't think I bicycled on Saturday. Anyway, so I'm downtown bicycling, and what to my wondering eyes should appear? It was just the weirdest, most surrealist Tim Burton thing. I mean, it's, you know, it's hot outside. It's like 85 degrees. The sunlight streaming down. And then in the middle of the day, this is in no way is this at night. Right there on a street corner, there's like... I don't know, there's like a gang of 15 to 20 goths waiting to cross the street. And I mean, they're in like the full, and I don't mean goth like they wear a lot of black and they're smoking instead of Roccos. I mean the full on, I'm wearing a top hat, I have a cane, I have a vest. The girls have like the big, whatever, the big dresses with the crinoline or whatever that's called. And, you know, and it's a lot of guys like bringing the girls along on like a chain and a dog leash and so forth, which is, you know, that's hot, that's fine. But, like, in the middle of the day, it just looks dumb. Like, goths just look... It just looks silly, and it seems like a lot of work, and I can't be a part of any culture that wants me to wear a top hat and tails. It really... I can't do that. And they've all got... The top hat and tails is actually okay, except the guys, the goth guys who have the top hat and the tails, they all have the pencil-thin Vincent Price mustache. And it's just... And you just know that during the day...
It seems like a lot of work.
And exactly. And you know that...
Like those rockabilly girls who look so beautiful and perfect all the time, you know, their hair perfectly coiffed
totally.
And makeup. I mean, that must take hours.
Completely. And you know that that guy works at, like, a taco hut during the day. You know that if you go see that guy during the day, the rest of the time, he's asking you if you want tater tots or Mexican fries. You know it's true. So goth girls are really... Maybe that's what it is. Maybe it's just goth guys that I can't take seriously.
That sounds like your issues with the guys.
I think so, because the girls look hot, and I mean, I guess that does look fine whenever. I think goth guys, and here's the other thing, goth guys age a lot faster than goth girls, by which I mean, you can be, I mean, it takes more work, but you can be 30, maybe a little bit more than 30, and still make the goth thing work if you're a girl. You have to work harder at it. You have to try to stay in shape. It's a little more difficult. But man, as soon as goth guys, or like those industrial rock guys, like those skinny puppy guys, as soon as they hit 25, that's bad. I remember like being at Brabati's Pan or something one night, and there's some guy, literally this was a man, with fishnets, like the Trent Reznor. You know, he's like in fishnets with like a leather vest or something, and he was just all, and he just let himself go. And so the skin is just kind of bubbling out through the fishnet. Just all kinds of bad. Anyway, so I don't know if there's a goth convention. Well, there must have been. But I don't know if these are out-of-town goths or these are all local goths. I don't know why they were downtown. I don't know where they were staying. It's all very confusing. But there's a good chance that they're still around. So if you're into goth girls, I would hang around downtown today. You can probably spot them somewhere. Is it 11:30 already? We haven't even done anything.
Oh, my gosh.
I've done nothing. All right. Have you even got to these observations about Richard Pryor's hit movie, The Toy, from 1983? Well, we'll do this later. All right. Here's what's coming up. Steve Kastenbaum from CNN Radio New York. Later on, Bob Costantini, Ed McCarthy, Jim Roop, Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth, Scotty J, the Top Five. We are live. It's Memorial Day. Back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Emerson Radio Program. I will acknowledge that the Utah Jazz apparently beat somebody over the weekend.
They sure did.
The stop clock is right twice a day, Raul. It won't last.
You're such a jerk. You already brought up Michael Jordan.
I don't even care. The thing is, I don't even care about the Utah Jazz anymore. I haven't followed the Jazz since I moved to Portland. The last.
What makes me mad is now I am watching basketball.
Yeah.
It infuriates me.
I will say, we got Steve Kat. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show from New York City. CNN Radio correspondent and man about town, Steve Kastenbaum. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, how are you?
I am dandy, brother. Happy Memorial Day.
Happy Memorial Day to you, too. I have to tell you, today is one of the reasons why I realized coming to work for CNN is the best decision I've ever made.
And why is that, sir?
Because I am reporting to you from the lovely shore town of Sea Isle City, New Jersey today.
Now, you do live in New York, so I have to take all this with a grain of salt. Are you being sarcastic when you refer to something in New Jersey as lovely?
Oh, no, this is great. I'm here on the beach.
I have to tell you, I have never been to New Jersey in my life. And I'm not saying that is like a... No, I'm not saying that is like a jerky...
You picking up your little specks of dirt.
I'm sorry. While we're talking, I'm compulsively cleaning small specks of dirt off the countertop here because I am OCD and crazy. I'm not saying that as a knock. And I'm not saying, look, I would never go to Jersey. I just have been to New York a bunch, but I've just never gotten to New Jersey. I've never had a reason to. To us Westerners, to people here who live in the West Coast, when I think of New Jersey, the media, I think, is just trying to think of a big steaming landfill.
You think of power plants and The Sopranos.
Exactly. I think of dead bodies and garbage.
Well, that's the thing. People think of New Jersey as that stretch of land on the New Jersey Turnpike that you drive through on your way down to Philadelphia or Washington, D.C.
A way that something you go through to get to someplace better.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the reality is, if you go far enough east or far enough west in New Jersey, you get away from all that industrial stuff, and you hit some really, either beautiful, mountainesque type places on the west side in the Delaware Water Gap, or on the east side, the whole entire state borders the Atlantic Ocean, so
right.
You've got the Jersey Shore. And so I'm in Sea Isle City, New Jersey, reporting on Memorial Day weekend happening.
Excellent. And then, of course, New Jersey's also got, this article is supposedly about the New Jersey economy, which I always thought was just like cement and Nathan's Famous hot dogs. I thought that was pretty much what the entire economy there was based on.
Right, but you know what? I just found out this weekend that they get over $15 billion in revenue a year from recreation expenditures in New Jersey, the entire state. And a lot of that is gathered on holiday weekends like this one at the shore.
Spenditures doesn't sound like a real word. Spenditures sounds like some sort of, I will be taking my spendification to the fine citicality of, it totally sounds like a George Bush word. I was going to ask you something. What were we talking about right before we went to Steve, Sarah? I came in and I was talking about something, and then I said, blah, 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 blah.
We're both forgetful.
Because I was going to ask him about
okay.
That. Wait, hold on just 1 second. Don't go anywhere. Just hang on.
I'm not going to say anything because I'll ruin it.
I came back from the bathroom. I was standing here. We came back. And I said, Rick Emerson Show, let me tell you, the thing is, and I started talking about something.
During the break, we were talking about people who look disturbingly like their family members.
Yeah, it wasn't that. Oh, it was the jazz. Okay. Here's the thing. Now you are in. Now do you follow the New York Knickerbockers? Is that the who is it you follow basketball wise?
Oh, geez, it's so sad. I mean, you want to root for the Knicks because they're New York's team, but they're just terrible. You know. So it's kind of like basketball almost doesn't exist in New York City right now.
What a sad statement. It's just you and Spike Lee. You're the only ones keeping the faith.
It's really sad. I mean, come on, it's New York. It's the Knicks. What's going on? Pat Riley, Patrick Ewing. I mean, what happened to this team?
So see, this is the thing I was saying. I understand. I have to tell you, I am. People who listen to the show, I am not much of a sports fan at all. I follow boxing a little bit, but that's about it. I was saying though that for a while, I really, because you do have to have a vested interest somehow to find it really interesting. Sarah right now is sort of dating a guy who's really into the jazz, and so even though we live in Portland, and so she's sort of becoming new. And I was saying that the last time there was this couple 3 years where I really followed the jazz closely. And it's because I lived in Salt Lake, and then even after I left Salt Lake, my then girlfriend, was from Provo, and so she was very, very into the jazz, and it looked like the jazz, because that was when they had Stockton and Malone, and it looked like the jazz were going to win, they were actually going to win the championship 1 year. And man, I followed the jazz like I had money riding on them that year, which climaxed in this game where the Bulls just beat them like a redheaded stepchild. And since then, I don't follow
it. Rick loves to bring up in front of Raul.
In front of Sarah's boyfriend, because jazz fan. And so the thing is, so I don't follow the jazz anymore because I don't really have, I don't live in Utah anymore, and my wife sort of accepted the fact they're never going to win anything, so I don't really follow them. Except now that Sarah is dating this guy who's a big jazz fan, perversely, it's just like brought up all my old anti-Utah, anti-jazz feelings for some reason. And so now every day I'm just checking the paper to see if they won or lost.
They're playing again tonight. You can watch them.
They're playing the Spurs tonight, aren't they? Yeah.
7-1.
See, why do I even know that? It's just freaky. That's how deep my... Go ahead.
I was going to say, I've got to be honest, it's almost like the basketball, championship series doesn't even exist here in New York because there's so little interest in basketball right now because the Knicks are so bad that, it's not really prominent right now.
Here's the thing. Again, I don't know anything about sports, so color me dumb. Talk to me like I'm a 5-year-old here. Is that just because... Is that a dumb question? Is that just because of like the draft and what players they get stuck with? I mean, it just seems so much like it's just luck of the draw, and it's just who you end up picking for your team.
I'm not a big enough basketball fan to know what the problem is. I just know that they have just not made good decisions as far as coaching goes. To be honest, during the games itself, and the players aren't living up to their full potential. They're just really disappointing people left and right. So who knows? So you know what they always say: maybe next year.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
Let's see. Real quickly here. WABC Television. Was like a fire or something there, right?
There was.
I'm reading this here from the Associated Press. 50 of WABC TV New York station employees were run out of the building last night by a fire moments before the 11 o'clock news. Apparently it was off the air all last night.
Wow. See, I didn't even know that. I'm down here, reporting on people barbecuing and businesses doing well because it's such a great summer weekend. I'm so far away from New York City. I didn't even realize ABC had a fire. That's incredible.
I think maybe the fact that WABC TV was off the air and you didn't even hear about it indicates that maybe it's a story no one cares about. So I'm going to put it over here in the don't care pile.
You know what it is? It's the holiday. That's what it is. The holiday.
All right, my friend. We got a bail here in a second, but real quickly, what are you eating today? What are your foods of choice on this Memorial Day?
Well, today will be another day of hot dogs and hamburgers, but last night, lobster, crab legs, and scallops. Doing really good.
Excellent. Yeah. Well done, my friend. Okay, enjoy New Jersey to whatever extent that is possible. We will talk to you soon, my friend.
See you tomorrow.
Thank you. There you go. There's Steve Kastenbaum, ladies. I like young Steve Kastenbaum.
I don't know yet.
What?
I don't know if I like him.
I was just saying he's... Are you just trying to be contrary?
No, I've been trying to figure it out. He's kind of like a Bob Costantini to me. Ooh, I started to love Bob Costantini.
Well,
he's embraced himself.
He just knows what he is. That's the thing about Bob. Bob knows what he is, and Bob knows what he ain't.
Steve just always seems a little orchestrated. Like, he always he has the line written out in front of him before he's going to say it.
He does, but I think a lot of that comes from the fact
that he's nervous.
Well, and he worked for a long time at the station 1010 Wins, WINS, which is a CBS radio station. Very, very buttoned down. Very professional, sort of like KEX is here. Just very, straightforward, treat the news seriously. Don't deviate from the script. Don't color outside the lines. He doesn't. And so I think he's got. Once they, you know, they beat that into you. It's like me with the stupid top 40 DJ voice. It's like it takes me so long. Even now, you hear little traces of my stupid top 40 voice when I talk sometimes. Because they pound it into you and you never lose it. And I think he's got that weird professionalism that got beaten in it for so long. But I think he's coming along. And he's a likable guy.
I would agree
guy.
With that. He is likable.
He is likable. All right, let's see. It is 503-733-2970. Rick, let's see. Let's see, what have we... Well, we'll talk... Well, I got these dead whale emails, but we'll get to these later. Rick, I was at Waterfront Park Saturday, and I saw big groups of the Goths. It was like 85 degrees, and these jackasses are dressed in black from head to toe. That's the other thing. I mean...
Oh, they were in, like, pleather pants and trench coats and stuff.
Totally. Well, and it's not... But it's not
big
even just...
buckle boots?
It wasn't even just trench coats, because the Goths I saw... And if you are one of the Goths... you could maybe to please to be clarifying whatever the hell this is about. Again, I don't care. It's not like I think Goths. I don't look down at Goths as such. It's just not for me. And you totally nailed it when you said it's like the Rockabilly, the Born to Lose guys. You know where they all walk around like it's 1956, which is fine. Doesn't matter. I mean, I walk around like I'm Joey Ramone, and I'm not. So I mean, you know, who am I to make assessments? I'm just saying. At least my, to whatever extent I have a look, which is, again, it's just like I'm a really, really poor man's, like Johnny Ramone. This just doesn't take any work, at least. I can just get out of bed, and it's right there on the floor, and it's fine. I could never belong to any group like that, because it just seems so hard. It just seems like it, and I would never know what to wear, and, like, what is accurate, and what's not. And, like, because you have a lot of your girlfriends are in that. They have the weird, not like the full-on poodle skirt thing, but you know what I mean, where it's like they just have...
Well, it's so, yeah, I know a couple of girls, I mean, they're so authentic down to, you know, every single thing they wear.
Yeah, and I just, I
think it's super cool. Yeah, that just takes so much control and just so much time, I couldn't do it.
There was this girl, when I had to do the stupid couples bowling, there was this girl who was always bowling the lane next to us. She worked at Montage, is that that place under the overpass?
Mm-hmm.
She worked at Montage, and she had this hot, like, this hot sort of weird 50s rockabilly thing going, really great, here's the other thing. The other thing with anybody, be it male or female, but like with me, I notice it with chicks, where they've got like the big rockabilly or the big gothic getup. I'm like, I know this sounds crude, but you always just have to wonder what they look like the next morning. Like, you always have to wonder, like with gothic girls, especially because there's so much like powder and paint, and it's like you never can get a real sense of what they look like facially, and you always wonder if the next day it was just like Dawn of the Dead. This email says it was 85 degrees and they were dressed in black from head to toe. Yeah, that's my point. Is it wasn't like industrial gloss. They were all like the Victorian goths.
Oh,
and
okay.
It was like a lot of crushed velvet. They were.
Like,
how do I put
like
this?
Interview with the Vampire Goths?
Yeah, they were all... How do I put this nicely? There was a lot of Nicodemus Goths. You know what I'm talking about. You know what I mean? Where
you know what you mean.
It's sort of the, look at my ruffled French shirt and my exquisite French cuffs. You know, it was, as opposed to like, I wear a lot of leather. I mean, those are the two distinct
cases. Okay.
They were the former. He says it was a hilarious juxtaposition because they were intermixed with cyclists, joggers, and hippies playing frisbee. I could imagine they had difficulty maintaining their melancholy demeanor under these conditions. It appeared that they were boarding the Portland Spirit for a sad, sad cruise down the river. Excellent. Fantastic. That's the other thing. It's just trying to picture them being all sad and morose while there's some guys playing hacky sack all around them. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, political firecracker from the Hill, CNN radio correspondent, Bob Gotson.
Hey, Rick, happy Memorial Day to everyone out there.
Hello, sir, and how are you today?
Hope everyone's having a good time.
We're
working. So.
Are you enjoying it now? Is it a full day for you? Do you get off early today?
It's pretty much a full day. I'll be here until... about 3 o'clock your time.
I will say, actually, that I'm very impressed with CNN. They have, not that I expect anything less than the best, but I admit that everybody but Lisa's on today, and of course you're in for Lisa, so it's a full board, as they say, except for Amanda Moyer, who they decided didn't need to speak to me today. But that's okay. It's not your problem. I'm not taking it personally.
And we're glad you're keeping track, too.
No, it's what I do, Father. I have a little chart in my head. I know who's naughty and who's nice. Oh, God, in any event. So, real quickly, and I don't mean to throw this at you because maybe you're not prepared for this, but I did want to ask Amanda something, and maybe you have, I don't know, a little bit of knowledge on this, and if not, that's fine.
Okay.
Amanda was sort of talking about about care packages that get sent over to these guys overseas, and we kind of joke about, you know, we always joke about, you know, well, if you want to help these guys, you're sending like a big bottle of whiskey or something, because that's probably what they, but I really don't know. Do you know, to any extent, what you can send guys in the military and what you can't? I mean, can I literally, to your knowledge, just go to the store and buy a big bag of stuff at, like, the supermarket and just stick it in a box and send it to some, you know, to my brother in Iraq or whatever?
I think, by and large, you can, from what I understand. Now, this is not something I have been working on today.
No, I apologize for throwing it at you, but I was just curious if you had any knowledge of that.
But we do hear of other people who send, you know, some body armor to their loved ones over there, chipping in to get that kind of thing. So I think you can pretty much send anything you like, as long as it's not illegal or, you know, hazardous to be shipped and that kind of thing. But, I don't believe there's any huge restrictions on what you can send over there. They are having some restrictions about what kind of websites they can visit and email messages back and forth and that kind of thing. But I think you can pretty much send what you like.
It's a strange thing. So that you do hear these anecdotal stories about, you know, the families or mothers, whoever, raising money, and they're sending over body armor to their kids or whatever in Iraq. Do you know, and again, I'm throwing you a question maybe you're not prepared for, but do you know how that even works? In other words, is that a thing where I send money to the company and the company, like, because I can't go into some store here in America and buy body armor, can I? That doesn't even seem like it would be legal.
There are some places where you can do that, I think.
Really?
Police stores. But typically, I imagine you would have to deal with a company directly in terms of military grade. But that's beyond my understanding, truthfully.
So Memorial Day, and I've asked this before, and somebody, I think, told me the answer a long time ago. But there's Memorial Day, there's Veterans Day, there's Armistice Day, and I can never remember which is which, or if they're all the same, or if they all got merged into one. So I know that this sounds very pedestrian as a question, but Memorial Day is what? Is that, that is simply for fallen soldiers or past soldiers, not active soldiers?
It is for those who've died, and it used to be called Decoration Day. And in fact, I'm old enough to remember some people used to say that when I was a kid.
I don't believe you.
Yes, that's true. But it is to honor those who have fallen in battle. Armistice Day, which is also Veterans Day, is to honor everybody who serves in a war. And Armistice Day was named after the armistice that was signed in World War One on November 11th at the 11th hour when it took effect.
Is it true that they're actually doing, they're pausing, they're actually doing a moment of silence, or they're actually pausing in space even today, right?
Yes, we understand there is some national effort to have a moment of silence around the country in various locales at what would be noon your time.
Right. Just real quickly, tell me about this, because somebody else had mentioned this to me, and I didn't know what they were talking about. This thing about donating, it's like a frequent flyer mile donation, but it's like you're donating it to guys who were, you know, whatever, Walter Reed or some guy that came back injured or maimed or whatever in the war. What is? Tell me what that's even about, because I wasn't even grasping the concept.
Yeah, we at CNN have been doing this company-wide all weekend long. I did several stories myself at the Walter Reed Fisher House. And what it is, it's called Hero Miles, and 10 airlines that are involved in this program are matching donated frequent flyer miles and these miles are then used to pay for tickets for family members, even close friends of people who are staying at the Fisher houses around the country, and there are a number of them, including here at Walter Reed, and you know, large military bases that have hospitals where severely wounded people tend to be treated. They have Fisher houses there, and so if you log on to Fisher House, log on to the Fisher House Foundation, I think it's fisherhouse.org, you will be able to donate frequent flyer miles. This is a big company-wide thing that CNN has been doing all weekend.
All right. Well, enjoy the rest of your day, my friend. Thank you for clarifying that for me, because somebody had asked me about that last week, and I didn't really know what they were talking about. So,
yeah.
All right.
All you do is turn on CNN, you'll find it.
Bob, you are one-stop shopping, Bob Costantini.
Thank you, Rick.
All right, my friend. Enjoy your afternoon. We will talk to you in the very near future. There you go. Happy Memorial Day.
Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, from the Hill, CNN Radio correspondent, the one, the only, never gets old. Fantastic. God bless him. And he answered all the with aplomb. He handled all the questions I threw at him that didn't even know what he was talking about. All right. I didn't even think you could buy, because you can't just walk into a store and buy body armor, because it seems like criminals would do that. Seems like that's the first thing you do if you were going to rob a bank or something.
I don't know. There's weird stores at the malls that sell like swords and stuff, and you see full on, you know,
I think they have body armor there.
Yeah.
It's all very puzzling. All right. You know, those goths would know it, too, because, you know, that's full, just like one degree of separation. I read the final line of this guy's email. He said, it appeared the goths were boarding the Portland Spirit for a sad, sad cruise down the river. So great. It's the idea of a pleasure boat full of goths who are just sitting there just trying to be despondent while going down the river on a boat on a sparkling 89-degree day. It's genius. He says, by the way, I love The Toy. That's the movie with Richard Pryor and Scott Schwartz. And challenge you to a pop culture quiz on that movie. He says, well, maybe not. I hate to lose. As you most assuredly would, sir. That is a Keith. As you most assuredly would. Can I just make this observation about The Toy? And speaking of Nicodemus,
I've never seen that. Isn't that horribly racist movie?
It's not horribly racist.
It's just, and the premise of it seems kind of racist.
You see, it can't be racist. It stars a black man. Nothing starring a black man can be racist, because his presence negates the racist aspect of the film. You know that.
Isn't it a little white boy who
buys a black man?
Okay. Just checking.
I guess when you put it that way, Sarah, when you put it that way, it's a rich white man buying a black man. I guess I can see how in some quarters there might be just the slightest hint of racism. I hadn't really thought about it. No, it's it's a Richard Pryor film, and so clearly no, but Richard Pryor is nobody's idea of he's nobody's fool. So I mean, or wasn't. So I mean, I think that
stop
is.
Stop trying to justify.
No, I'm not. I'm saying I think that is the point. Actually, no, there is a line. The Toy is a pretty great movie. There is a line early on where, because see, Sarah, what the movie points out the disparity in the way that races are treated and how blah, 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 blah. Because the thing is, he's trying to get a job at Jackie Gleason's newspaper because he's a reporter. He's an author, and he's a very, very talented. Yeah, he's a very talented journalist in the movie. His name is Jack something or other. And he's a journalist, and he's trying to get a job at U.S. Bates's newspaper. And like, he can't get a job. They won't hire him as a writer because he's black. So the only thing they will hire him for, they hire him to be a maid initially, and so which requires Richard Pryor to cross-dress and to pretend to be a woman. And then later on, so that's the whole point. It's like the only jobs they will hire him for are like these really menial jobs because it's this big racist company. And so they hire him to be a janitor. And so he's a janitor in the department store late at night. And Jackie Gleason's kid, who is like really spoiled, it's like an FAO Schwartz type of store, gets to come in and do like a private shopping trip late at night. Like, his dad lets him do a private VIP tour through the store when it's closed to buy things. And he sees Richard Pryor, sort of just, who has his headphones on and is oblivious. He sees Richard Pryor sort of just being kooky and doing his Richard Pryor things. And Scotty Schwartz, as young Eric Bates, just says, I want that. And they think that he's referring to this toy that Richard Pryor is riding on. It's like this Wonder Wheel thing that you roll around in. And they're like, okay, we'll get you the wheel. And it's like, no. I want the man. And they're like, what? And he goes, no. I want the black man. And there's a great sequence where Richard Pryor actually continuously says, he goes, you can't buy a black man. So it is. And at the end,
so it's aware of how ridiculous
it is. No. That's the thing. Is that's they make constant references where Richard Pryor is like, you know, this is They passed a law about this. I can be bought. I can be rented, but I can't be bought. It is a pretty great movie. And at the end, everyone learns that they were wrong to deny Richard Pryor the job simply because
he becomes like the head of the company or something.
No, but he becomes a reporter. At the end of the movie, they tie it up in a nice bow. At the end of the movie, he gets the job that he wanted at the very beginning, which is
Other
a reporter.
Longing gazes over the over the shoulders and knowing smiles between him and the kid.
Yes, no, there, no, y'all know there is. There's totally that. Because, see, the thing is, the kid is estranged from his dad, Jackie Gleason. And, of course, Richard Pryor teaches Jackie Gleason and his son
how to love.
How to love. That's what I'm talking about. It's a really great movie.
All right, now I kind of want to see it.
No, and the reason they get away with so much race-related humor is because Richard Pryor, at that point, had such a reputation for his, like, scathing... For very, very plain-spoken, blunt, honest comedy about race relations in America. And so then that he would do that, like he was, it would be like Dave Chappelle doing it now. Like he was, you know, but even more so because Richard Pryor was very, like an angry comic. He was a very angry comedian. And so it was exactly the right time for him to do that. Richard Pryor at that point was the only guy who really could have pulled that off. So it is pretty funny. It is, and here's the funny thing. The whole reason for this, speaking of Nicodemus and our friend Chris Morris, he pointed out to me, because I've seen The Toy like 1,000 times. I mean, I had it on VHS growing up. I've seen it probably more than just a handful of movies. I mean, there's just probably only a handful of movies I've seen more than The Toy. He pointed out a joke. That is the most obvious joke in the entire movie that I've never got until he pointed it out to me. Because it's a rich family, and so it's Jackie Gleason as U.S. Bates, like Ulysses S. Bates or whatever his name is, and his son, Eric Bates. But, of course, because they're a wealthy white family, the kid isn't referred to as Eric Bates. He's referred to as Master Bates.
I saw that even before, like, you got five words.
I have seen that movie... hundreds of times. About a month ago, Chris Morris goes, yeah, and they call the kid Master Bates. And I'm all, what? Oh, my God! And I've never got that, ever. Never got it. It took me till I was 34 to get that joke. That's how subtle the writing in The Toy is, Sarah. So, there you go. Fantastic. Should we break?
Yeah.
I mean, we covered everything we could possibly cover in this hour. Goths, Richard Pryor, body armor. Nothing else. This hour's done. Put a fork in it. Finished. Put it on the shelf. All right. It's 503-733-2970. Back after this with Tim Riley in the noon news hour. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. You stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson radio program. This email says, Rick, I was at the goth convention. Really, it's more of a music festival than anything. Oh, this is it was at the, the Crystal. I saw Skinny Puppy, of course. It's funny. Funny how I would just sort of take that out of the air as my go-to band there. I saw Skinny Puppy in Frontline Assembly there. My ears are still ringing. All right. Oh, there you go. By way of comparison, I will be driving, how far, what is that city that's near here? Is it Tuttle? Tuttle?
Tuttle.
Tuttle, is that how you pronounce that? I'm from...
Never heard of it. Where is it?
You know, like you give me the pronunciation and then tell me you've never heard of it. It's by St. Helens. It's spelled T-O-U-T-L-E.
What would you be doing up there?
Well,
oh, it's Tuttle?
No, it's not pronounced Tuttle. Tuttle. I don't really know. And here's the embarrassing thing. I'm from here, more or less, and I still don't know how to pronounce it. That's how effed up pronunciations are in the Pacific Northwest. I grew up here, and I still don't know how that city's pronounced.
Well, Oregon is so vast and huge that, I mean, you can go anywhere in any direction and not have been to any of these towns ever.
And you look around in this town, what's this? It's Susquehanna Nalagabanda. You know, and you're just, okay, you know, and it's, well, named after Chief Susquehanna Maganahana. You know, right? But Tuttle is, I think it's Tuttle. You always hear about it because there's the Tuttle River.
I've never heard of the Tuttle.
You'll hear about it sometimes in Mount St. Helens documentaries because they will talk about how it destroyed like some river and some forest that was near there. I'm pretty sure it's Tuttle.
Oh, is that the one that drowned Harry Truman?
Well, Tuttle?
Tuttle.
Tuttle. All right, there you go. That just sounds silly. It sounds like a jokey town where there'd be little plastic...
Toodaloo.
Yeah, totally. Sounds like there'd be little plastic dolls who live there. They're all colored pink.
Bobbleheads.
They're so weird.
My point here, we're now late for the news hour, but I was just going to say...
None of that matters.
So the whole day.
We're just pleased to be here. It doesn't matter if anything works, and we'll get things going sooner or later.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, I'm fine.
I was simply going to say, that guy...
Take all the time you need.
Never mind.
No, seriously. I'm not being facetious. I'm not in any hurry.
Well, no, we got another 3 hours to fill.
Yes, we do.
Start filling it now.
Let me make the following observation. I'll just slow everything down.
That guy spent his weekend going to see Skinny Puppy in Frontline Assembly. On Friday, I will be driving for 2 hours to see Great White in Tootle. That's me. That's what you need. That's all you need to know about me right there. That fills in my entire personality for you.
Are they the big band for Tootle Days?
The Tootle Festival.
Yeah.
Tootle Days. All right, ladies and gentlemen, he's your president, your prophet.
Rick Emerson, Zoom News Hour from 970 Pollard State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
When General Tootle defeated the relentless savages, making the place safe for white settlers.
Come by and enjoy our 2K Tootle race and a Tootle cake for the kids.
I'd like to learn more about Tootle.
Well, point. Let me just what? I'll research it while you're doing this first story.
All right. We'll wait in real time.
It is a holiday, isn't it? You can tell.
All right, hold on. Well, let me tell you, because it is a holiday, and Americans are so senseless and spend their money on needless things. Pirates of the Caribbean hauled in $142.1 billion.
Really?
It is the best 4-day Memorial Weekend debut. Or so they say. And, well, in second place was Shrek the Third, which also opened, I believe, this weekend.
And the thing is, both of those movies are apparently terrible.
Well, that only made $69.1 million. And then Spider-Man 3 is vanishing. It only made $18 million. So it's seen its better days.
Well, that's good, because I heard that movie. And I haven't seen it, but all three of those movies have been very, very badly reviewed. Here's the disturbing thing about that Pirates 3 making $142 million, is that I have that bet writing with Court and Fatboy about how much Transformers is going to make. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a 5-day weekend. So, and Transformers already, the reviews are already awful. They're just terrible for that. But I do live in fear it's going to break 145. Okay. Tootle, Washington, Tim, mm-hmm. is a community located in Cowlitz County, Washington. Tootle is located at 46 degrees 21 north or something. I don't know how to read these. Whatever. It's in southwest Washington. Approximately 10 miles east of State Route 504 off exit 49 I-5. You can tell what an exciting town it is that most of the Wikipedia entry is the map. Tootle's not very far from well-known Mount St. Helens. The population of Tootle? Who wants to guess? Population of Tootle, Washington. Go.
5,000.
Sarah?
600.
731. So you win both showcases. The communities of Tootle, Silver Lake, Slightly, Kid Valley, and a portion of Castle Rock from the Tootle Lake School District, a K-12 district. Well, this is a sentence fragment. This sentence never even... The communities of Tootle, Silver Lake, Slightly, Kid Valley, and a portion of Castle Rock, form the Tootle Lake School District, a kindergarten through 12th grade district of approximately 700 students. Let's go to their website now, shall we?
Yes.
I'm going to the
Tootle. What might Tootle be noted for?
Nothing. Hey, the Tootle softball team just qualified for the state playoffs. And the ASB election results are in. Hey, let's find out who won the ASB. Hey, the president of the Tootle Lake School District,
mm-hmm.
Joe Schilter.
Deservedly so.
Joe's a good man. Good man.
Honest Joe, as he's known. You see my son.
Okay, I can't top that. I won't even read this thing about how that takes two business managers to manage the ASB for the Tootle School District.
Isn't the Tootle Rutabaga Festival coming up tonight?
I don't know. Let's look at the calendar. I'm unclear about what their mascot is because it looks like a stolen version of Donald Duck. It looks like Donald Duck, but altered just enough so as to not get sued. Because you got to imagine the financial resources of Tootle are... Mm-hmm. necessarily finite. Mm-hmm. All right, let's look at the calendar. What is today? Today's May something or other. Wait, hold on. Today is May 28th. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Memorial Day, no school.
The Mosquito Festival must be soon.
Well, this is just a school calendar. It's just nothing but prep days for the teachers and alternate snow days if required. Well, this isn't as exciting as I thought it would be. Here's Tim Riley.
Well, you'll have fun the Toodle Chamber of Commerce.
I'm looking it up right now. Okay, let's see. Toodle Lake Community Bible Church. Mount St. Apparently there's nothing. Oh, wait, here's real estate. Fantastic. Hey, they're going to be dredging sediment from the river all week, apparently.
That's so the cruise ships can come in.
Toodle tourism. Putting toodle in front of anything just makes it sound cute. Toodle tourism. Travel articles and vacation packages to Toodle, Washington.
Oh, I'd like to find out more.
The page is just empty. It's just empty. There's nothing
coming
there.
Coming soon.
There's under construction with like a cartoon guy holding up like a road sign, like a bad clip art of like one of those traffic cones. Checking again. It's telling, by the way, that we know people are listening. But no one's calling about it. There's nothing. No one has any idea what there is to see in Toodle. And yet there is a visitor center. There is apparently a visitor center, and at no point do they describe what's there or what you can see or why you might want to stop there. Yeah, the attractions page is just empty. All right, I think I've exhausted all the humor that there is in the city of Toodle, Washington, except that I'm driving there. So how far is that? If it's near Mount St. Helens, that's like 2 hours, right?
I would assume so, yes.
So I'm going there to see Great White.
This weekend?
No, on Friday.
So this weekend?
This coming. Right. Not over. It's not like a festival. It's not like a 3-day.
Will this be inside or outside?
No, please don't watch them inside.
I'm not even going to make those
Great
White Spire jokes.
No, I'm not making a joke. It just makes
it makes you nervous.
So weird. Yeah.
I wonder how much flights to Toodle are.
They have one firework.
I was at the Killers this week, and there were sparks everywhere, and I was so afraid the whole place was going to burn down. Be careful.
Just have a candle. Let's see. From special airfare to Toodle. There's specials right now. Let's see.
Toodle Barnstormer Airlines. Welcome you aboard.
They still have to walk on the wing of the plane.
Everyone share this cracker.
You have to dust crops along the way. All right. This is, wait, is this somebody calling about Toodle, Scotty?
That's the mayor of Toodle.
That honest Jack. All right, Scotty, should I take this exciting Toodle call?
Unless you want to save it for later, it's probably the only call of the day.
That's not true. We've had three calls already.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick, this is Stephen the Coop.
Hey, what's up? Toodle?
I have a speculation. Maybe people are going to Toodle to see the Toodle Loop.
I don't even really know that was worth the effort to pick up the phone. But thank you. Have you ever been there, sir?
No, but you're not getting any other calls. I thought I might, you know.
Well done. Thank you.
All right, bye.
There you go. No, so Great White, I swear to God, Great White, now listen to this. This is actually, you know what, I'm going to save this observation for outside the news hour. I'll talk about it later. Toodle Festival. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
So getting back to the movies, let's see here. Waitress is number 5. And topping out the top 10 is Wild Hogs, bringing 1.4 million.
Wait, still?
Yeah.
That's not possible. Didn't that movie come out like a year ago?
Probably.
We were making fun of Wild Hogs, and we were in the other studio at the Coin Tower.
Mm-hmm.
You are kidding me. That piece of crap, which I have not seen, but feel free to judge.
Well, there have only been about a dozen movies out this year.
Okay, Waitress is in the top 5, though.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't seen that yet because
it made $4 million.
As much as I want to support Adrian Shelley, I've had several people who saw it say that they loved it, but that I would dislike it intensely. Many, many people said that they loved it, but that they felt that I would hate it. I am going to see it eventually because I want to support. And plus, the whole thing just makes me sad, especially that it apparently is such a big success. And that it's success, and you know, and of course, Adrienne Shelley got killed about 6 months ago. And so, of course, it's, you know, she toils in obscurity for 10 years, and then she makes this hit movie, but of course, she's dead. So, you know, so there you go. So you got that working for you. Jesus, it's just depressing.
Well, speaking of Wild Hogs, a home in Eagle Creek has turned into a pigsty.
Three pigs have been ransacking a four-bedroom home on Southeast Wildcat Mountain Drive that was repossessed in January. Neighbors say the former owners were extremely upset that they were forced out. Detectives believe he tried to get even by trapping three very large pigs inside. Now, there's damage inside the house, extensive damage, as well as there are three 200-pound pigs that are apparently trapped inside or placed inside or concealed in this residence for a week. By the time deputies arrived, the pigs nearly destroyed the home. Because the pigs were without food or water almost a week, the owner could be charged with animal abuse.
Wait, so these aren't pigs that, like, broke into the house somehow. These are pigs that the owner was keeping?
I don't think pigs would break into a house.
Well, but
they're usually a law-abiding animal.
Who knows what they do? Apparently they ransacked the joint.
And they were locked inside.
So this guy was just keeping pigs as pets?
No, he wanted to get even because he lost his home to foreclosure.
Oh, I see. And so he left them in as, like, an I'll-show-you kind of a thing.
Yes.
This is like that. Do you guys watch... I can answer for Tim. No. I don't know if anybody watches that. I discovered this program this weekend that I'm almost embarrassed to say that I watched because it was really funny. But it goes against my longstanding hatred of reality programming. Mm-hmm. I saw the Robin Big Show on MTV. Have you watched that?
Is that the two guys and the dog?
Yeah, with Rob Drydek, the skateboarder, and he's the actual name of the show is Rob and Big Black, but in America they dropped the word black, so that no one will know. You know, the fact that it's a 400-pound black man.
I saw it a few months ago.
It's actually really funny. It's a reality show, sort of. But, I mean, it's more like a reality sitcom than anything else. Like, I don't think anybody has any... No, I don't think anybody's pretending that they're just sort of spontaneously coming up with any of the ideas. The producers basically... It's a skateboarder and his bodyguard who live together with their dog. And the producers basically just give them kooky crap to do, and then the humor is just watching them react to it. But they have this Saturday Night Live episode where they bought a mini horse... Like one of those horses that's the size of a small dog, and they name the horse, the mini horse, which is named Mini Horse, they buy it, and then they just keep it in the house. They just to, like, let it live in the living room. And that lasts one day, and they come out of the mini horse has destroyed the entire house. That's exactly what this story reminds me of.
Okay, that sounds pretty hilarious.
No, it is. It's actually really funny. It's a funny show. So that's what this reminds me of. So don't let pigs have the run of your place.
I'll make a note of that.
That's the lesson we've learned.
The owners of Carl's Jr. and Hardee's is suing Jack in the Box over advertisements that jokingly compare their burger meat with the business end of a cow. CK Restaurant CEO Andrew Puzder says they're accusing Jack in the Box of deceptive advertising for television spots that make light of the similarity between the company's Angus burgers and the word anus.
Why do you charge so much for your burgers when they come from the cow's butt? Or we didn't know that Angus came from the cow's butt. And really, that's just not true. I mean, it's a breed of cattle, not a cut of meat.
But people don't know that.
No, of course.
All you got to do is tell them once, and that's it.
And they say, you got to give it up to the Jack in the Box. It's a pretty great ad.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see it live. I mean, in other words, I've never seen it on the TV because I got a TiVo. But I read about this, and it's so apparently the one ad that I saw, it's just like a bunch of guys in a boardroom saying the word Angus. And then just giggling uncontrollably. And I guess the brilliant thing about the ad is they never say the word anus, ever. Because the other ad is where they ask, you know, there's that Jack in the Box guy with the big ping pong head who's kind of alternately funny and scary. And they have the chart of a cow, like the outline of a cow, and they ask him to point to where, it's not him, I guess. I guess maybe it's the other. This is the one I haven't seen. But they ask the guy from, like, Hardee's to point to the section of the cow where their burgers come from, and, like, he won't. And the implication is it's the butt. The best thing about it is the ad never says the word anus or butt. It's completely inferred. It is pretty genius.
Mm-hmm. Angus beef is a combination of various kinds of beef, you carnivores.
Angus beef actually has sirloin as a cut. Also has tenderloin and shank and a number of other cuts. But apparently consumers aren't as aware of that fact as you might think they would be. And this jackhead just seems to be...
This jackhead.
...deceptively leading them to believe something they should...
Jackhead. I'm going to start referring to people as jackheads from now on. This is... Yes, Scotty, this burger tastes like ass.
Yes, thank you.
That'll
be a great promotion. Kids will love it.
But teenagers? I am... Hey, remind me to talk to you. Hold on a second. Hold on. I'm making a note. Hey, does Tim have a live read for Pirate's Tavern today?
Sure does.
All right. Remind me to make an observation about something, too.
All right.
I'm sure you'll be working this Angus bit into that anyway. But what's funny to me is the beginning of the story where you say the business end of a horse.
Yes.
Or a cow.
Cow.
Until you actually clarified that it was the ass, I didn't really know what the business end was.
I know. What end of a cow does business?
I mean, they...
The front does business as well. It's the chewing and eating business. And then there's the lower bit. That's a kind of business, I would think.
Yes.
So it's all very confusing. So are you saying that the Hardee's burgers do not have anus in them?
It doesn't say that they don't.
Well, does the guy ever flat out say it?
No.
What is it? Who are the targets? Hardee's and Carl's Jr.?
Yeah.
Does the guy from Carl's Jr. ever flat out say, our hamburger doesn't have anus?
See here.
In the story. Does he ever actually deny it?
No, he doesn't.
Well, that's interesting.
Poster says the Jack in the Box mascot, Jack, has become two-faced.
They brought Jack back because they claimed they had these corporate people lying to people and he was a consumer advocate. I think the corporate people must have taken over again because they got Jack out there saying something in these ads that isn't true. And I assume if they say something in ads that isn't true that we would be able to stop them, particularly when it's about our product.
That's the great thing, at least about the one ad that I saw, is that they never actually say it. It is totally left to your imagination.
Because
They just say anxious, and then they just laugh, which is hilarious. And it is left to you to draw the inference that they're referring to the anus. There's nothing you can do. That's what's so great about this. And it's
genius, really.
It really is brilliant. I mean, it's one of the best ads ever, because these idiots are protesting it, and all they're doing is resulting in a flurry of news programs like this one, which even on a holiday is just putting the words Carl's Jr., Hardee's, and anus in the same sentence over and over and over again. It also doesn't help, by the way, that the guy won't actually come out and deny it. So I would be curious to hear him actually say
it. He might not be sure.
Well, I mean, do you know? No.
Well, what do I care? I wouldn't touch it anyway. Because of that, I would never eat a Carl's anus. Some people wouldn't. Don't care.
It's true.
You just cover it with a special sauce. yum, yum.
Hi, Rick Evers. Show. Hello.
Hey, this is Steve.
Yes.
I got a question about the house in Eagle Creek.
Uh-huh.
Was it made of straw?
Three Little Pigs. Took me a second. Wait, hold on. It took me a second to get that one. That's funny. That's really good. That's really good. I should have thought of that. I'm embarrassed that I did not.
I'll be here all week. Try the deal.
All right. Thanks.
People need to be given credit. People need to be given credit for thinking on a holiday.
No, it's true. I mean,
it's a lot more than what we're doing.
I'm not even thinking. I'm just mindlessly reading emails and giggling. Rick, be sure to get to that Great White Show early enough to see Jack Move. They're one of the opening bands. We featured them on 986. Oh, this is that guy that makes those Vantucky. Do you have one of those shirts, the one that says 98666?
No.
It's the coolest shirt. He sent me a bunch, but I think they're all too big for all of us. Hey, dude, Mike, if you're listening, and I know you are because you're emailing me, send me a medium, please. What? I say, using the airwaves to solicit myself free goods. No, I'm just saying, the guy dropped off a shirt, he actually, you know, completely unsolicited, the guy dropped off a shirt, which can't be helped, but it's like way too big. And so it's that thing where, like, the medium is like a large and large or like whatever, but I do wear a regular medium. It's the coolest thing. I am not saying this for consideration, by the way, or in exchange for services. I'm simply making the observation. And if he chooses to replace my large with a medium, that can't be helped. But no, he has this great line of clothing because apparently in Vancouver there is this area code 98666. And so he markets this line of shirt, and it's a black shirt, and then in red, right across the middle, it says 98666, and then the first and last six are like devil horns. It really, and it says Vantucky across the bottom. It's the coolest shirt. It really is fantastic. Anyway, so that's the thing about this weird, this rock show in Tootle, is that, you know, apart from the obvious, I swear to God, there's like 9 bands playing. I mean, it is an all-day rock festival in a town of 700 people. The headliner, Great White, not taking the stage till 10. So I'll be there. I'm just saying, it's just the whole thing is just weird. And Jack Move, and then what is that band, Jebular? Gebular? They listen to us, so I'm sorry that I can't pronounce your name. But they're
a very special guest.
Yes. Wait, hold on. The guy is sending me the... okay, hold on. So this is guy has sent me a YouTube of one of the ads. Oh, this is the Jack in the Box ads. So let's see. Here we go. So this, let me load this. This is the one, I guess, of the diagram where, let's see. So let me just make sure that this is turned up. All right. Like like another 5 seconds and this will be loaded. So this is from, who sent this to me? Some guy. All right, so this is the Jack in the Box Angus Diagram ad.
Okay, listen up. This is big. We have just launched the first 100% sirloin burger in fast food history.
Okay, so this is Jack. This is the Jack in the Box guy with the big ping pong head in a conference room speaking to his table full of, you know, managers or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so I guess the point is, I guess what the Carl's Jr. guys are pissed at is that this, that he's trying to, the Jack in the Box shtick is our burgers are sirloin, theirs are Angus. But I guess Angus is a breed of cow, as I understand it, and sirloin is just a cut, I think. Anyway, so here's Jack in the Box talking to his peeps.
Okay, listen up. This is big. We have just launched the first 100% sirloin burger in fast food history. Take a look. That's 100% ground sirloin seasoned while it cooks. People can choose what kind of cheese and onions they want, but it's the sirloin that has to be tasted to be believed. Now, for those of you not from Texas...
Okay, so this now, he has just pulled down...
A map.
Yeah, it's like one of those pull-down map things, but it's the diagram of a cow. And it's an outline of a cow, and then he's got, like, circled on the chuck, brisket, rib, or, you know, whatever, sirloin, round. He's got the various cuts circled on the cow.
That's the sirloin area.
Jack, our competitors serve Angus burgers. Could you point to the Angus area?
I'd rather not.
See? That's genius.
It is.
Somebody ought to win a Clio for that. I mean, really. Wait, that's the TV award, right?
Yeah.
Or is that just...
It's for TV commercials.
Somebody, whoever did this ad is a genius, and I salute you. That is a fantastic ad. That's one of the best TV ads I've seen in a long time, especially because it's so great, and it's just like the lowest blow in terms of advertising, but for reasons you can't really...
Because those poor people at the drive-ups who are going to put up with these teenagers now.
Oh, God, I like the Angus! the great thing about it is that these guys from Hardee's and Carl's Jr. can't possibly complain without having to say, our hamburgers aren't made of anus. Which they haven't said yet, by the way. You're on the Rick Emerson Show.
Hey, Rick.
Hey.
Last summer I went with a friend. Her daughter knows a guy in a band.
Yeah.
And we went to this out in Vernonia to like 15 bands.
Rock
and I tell you what, if you want to see the headliner, that's going to be about 4 o'clock in the friggin' morning.
Yeah, no, Great White, it starts at 3, and I think Great White, they said the earliest they go on is like 10 p.m., yeah.
And that's going to, you figure every band that gets up there and is like 10 minutes late, gonna bump everything back.
Yeah.
I ended up, they had this deal. It was one big drunken brawl. I couldn't believe it. It was
in Vernonia.
Yeah, in field, in a big field out in the middle of nowhere, and it was all the beer you can drink and all the food you can eat for like $20. And there, by the time we got there, there was people that had gotten there like 5 in the morning on Friday and started drinking.
Uh-huh.
And we got hungry, so I got in the hamburger line. And I stood in line for 2 hours, and then finally the guy, the cook, just said, I'm out of here. Screw it. And so I ended up cooking that night until dark. Like I shut him off at like 1 o'clock. I said, I'm out of here. But I had like $80 in a tip jar that people were sticking in there for me.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, bring fresh water, Rick.
Okay.
That's all I can say.
And a gun. All right. The hamburger line. It's like a white trash Soviet Union. All right, let's take a break here. We'll come back and resume this. And it's already 12:30. Do you know that?
I do know that.
Time flies when you're talking toodle.
It does.
All right. We'll come back and do some real news, I swear to God. No hurry, though, I suppose. Angus. Back after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Radio program. I'm trying to find the entire lineup for this Tuttle concert. I'm sorry, Toodle concert. Great wife. Toodle. All right, here we go. Let's see. Listen to this. This is from the Toodle Daily News.
They have a daily news today.
I swear to God.
Meaning every day?
Alternate Tuesdays.
Well, I swear to God, the headline is Lights, Sound, Toodle.
Hollywood comes to Toodle. The long overdue.
The first... The first ever rock extravaganza in Toodle. Oh, my God. All right, let's see here. Toodle, Dateline Toodle, it says in the Toodle News. Of course it is. Like they could possibly find a smaller town to need. Anyway, Dateline Toodle. When people call about the upcoming concert by Great White, show promoter Jay Turnigan often hears questions like, what? Kelly Maxwell, his girlfriend and co-promoter, says she has to reassure callers, saying, yes, we do exist. Well, that's good. It's going to be a big show, Turnigan says. Oh, my God.
It may be a record of honey buckets brought into Toodle at the same time.
Oh, there's going to be a beer garden, a tattoo and piercing business.
Is that after the beer garden?
Seriously. let's see. This is the only Northwest appearance of Great White, by the way. Oh, my God. It's like Woodstock, he says. But we're calling it... Rockstock.
Oh. Ooh.
Yeah. That is fantastic. Let's see. Not everyone is thrilled about the idea, however. Jane Brunk, who lives about a mile east of the concert venue on Gallo Road, says, it's going to be loud. let's see. It's right next to... It's across the street from a mill. This is so great. The amphitheater's across the street from the mill. We're planning to do this all summer long, he said. He hopes to bring ZZ Top and Foreigner next. Oh, that's fantastic. All right, so let's see. Other bands on the playbill in Toodle are Lung Invasion, Population 361, Jack Move, The Harps, and Jebular. That's the band I'm talking about. They're listeners of ours, Jebular. The show starts at 3 p.m. on a Friday. Who would be going to... Look, I don't mean to...
Well, you make a weekend up and you leave the night before.
I guess. But I'm not going to work. I'm going to Toodle. So, there you go. It's unclear about whether or not this is actually going to be Great White or whether this is like Jack Russell's Great White. I don't even know what version of Great White I might be seeing. Mm-hmm. So...
Maybe the Branson version.
Maybe. I just want to start a band called The Brains. I want to start a band called Jack Russell's, like, whatever. Jack Russell's Rick Emerson. Let me take this real quickly. Hi, Kevin, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. You have clarification of what you can send to troops.
Yeah, I used to work in the post office over in one of the Baghdad locations.
Right.
So, generally, the two items you were talking about, porn and booze.
Yeah.
Don't send booze. If they really want it, they can find it there. It's much more likely to get caught going through the mail, and if they get caught having it sent to them, then they could just get demoted.
Now, is it legal?
That's one way to bring the troops home.
So, yeah, I guess. I guess if you really don't want to be there anymore. But let me understand this. Is it legal for them, like if you're a service guy in Iraq, is it legal for you to go to an Iraq store and like buy booze and just sort of, you know, on your whenever when you're off duty or whatever?
No, they actually have... two big mandates that are, of course, great morale boosters. You're not allowed to do two things in country: drink booze or have sex.
Is that true?
They can dictate who your friends are. They can dictate that too.
Yeah, I mean, they have the authority to do that. I just didn't think they did. I guess I've watched too many episodes of MASH. So when you are, as they say, in country, when you are on assignment in whatever locale where you're based, you're not allowed to drink alcohol.
In Iraq, you're not.
I had no idea. Now, is that
a Muslim country?
But is that why? Is that in deference to local culture?
I couldn't say. I think
and we know how
it's
culture
just
there.
Because
yes.
of the active war going on, changing face of war, no front line, all that. I think that's the reason. But it might just be because they like to screw with you.
That seems more likely, actually. Really, that does sort of follow. That follows precedent, I would think.
Yes.
All right, excellent. All right, thank you, Kevin.
I was just going to say, if you want to send something to somebody, you can't go wrong going down to CD Game Exchange, grabbing an armload of CDs and DVDs.
God bless you, sir.
Like a dollar each and shoving them in a box.
Now, that is true from your experience. Is that the single thing that they kind of want most is just entertainment?
Yeah, and the only outlet to buy it is either Bootlegs, or you can go down to the PX where it's still at like $13-$14 a pop for CDs. And that's what people really appreciate, because other things you can usually buy over there, unless it's a really, really bad bass. That's for stuff like that. They have family members who will send them that sort of stuff.
All right, cool. Well, thank you so much.
General.
Thanks for clarifying it, man.
No problem.
All right, happy Memorial Day. There you go. That's Kevin. All right, so there you go. So entertainment, apparently, but not big bottles of whiskey. Here's Tim Riley.
Time for a snuff watch.
Here's your snuff watch for Memorial Day on this, the Rick Emerson radio program.
Remembers the match game at Charles Nelson Reilly way back when.
I can't really do the Charles Nelson Reilly laugh. I don't really know how to do it. There's somebody out there who could do it. It is not me. I am not that guy.
Well, he's dead.
Oh.
Fortunately, he's 76 years old. He had pneumonia. Well, let's see if we have this here.
Well, you know, I live in Beverly Hills.
Yes.
Oh.
There's the laugh.
Yep.
Well, boy, does she live in Beverly Hills. If you spit, you're on Olympic. You can see where she lives. Boy, you're talking about a borderline house.
Yeah,
maybe it's on the fringe.
On the fringe?
On the fringe, that's what
Culver
it is.
Culver City got the postmark. Talk about a small house. Don't you got the curtain?
What's
she got for curtain? Tablecloth.
Tablecloth.
No, tell him it's tablecloth. Tell him I'm lying.
I live in Beverly Hills.
Actually, she says I walk to everything. She has to. And a bus goes near there.
Okay.
Have you finished?
Yes, he's quite finished.
Blow it out your ear.
Now, he's one of those guys that I really only know. Well, I know him from two things. I know him from being on all of those game shows, and I know him from being on the X-Files. I think it was the X-Files or the Lone Gunman. He was on one of those shows for a while in the late 90s. But that's about it. I don't really know him. What did he do?
Yeah, he was another Broadway actor.
Is that true?
Before that, yes.
I have no idea.
He won a Tony Award in 1962 for his portrayal of Bud Frump and How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. He also directed on Broadway and was nominated for a Tony Award for directing The Gin Game in 1970. So if you lived in New York, you know who he is.
Yeah.
A lot better if you didn't watch the match game, but you can see him all the time on the Game Show Network.
If you grew up in the 70s, the 80s, too, you just sort of knew that guy again from just always sort of being around. To me, he kind of reminded me, he was in a weird way, he was sort of like a...
He was an early Jim J. Bullock.
I was just going to say, I was absolutely going to say he's a lot like Jim J. Bullock. One of those, because I guess Jim J. Bullock was on Soap. Wasn't that the show he was on? Soap?
No, he was on that.
No, Too Close for Comfort.
Yeah, the Ted Knight Show.
Too Close for Comfort. But what did Jim J. Bullock really do? I mean, he was just sort of Jim J. Bullock.
His first name was spelled wrong. J.M.
Didn't, what do you mean?
Jim, his name wasn't spelled J.I.M., it was spelled J.M. for some ridiculous reason.
I don't understand.
His name was spelled wrong all the time.
It was Jim J. Bullock?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Why did I never notice? Okay, I'm going to look it up right now because it's a holiday. And we've got plenty of time. Let's do it in a holiday. We're going to do it in real time.
So while you're doing that, let's talk to Brett Summers, who you just heard on that clip. She said the chemistry between her and Charles Nelson Reilly was natural.
When I first did the show, one day I said, Charles Nelson Reilly isn't wearing any socks. So, of course, they cut to Charles, and he put his foot up, and, of course, he wasn't wearing any socks.
This is gripping.
And then we never did anything deliberate. It just evolved.
Okay, there's no Jim Jib. Oh, maybe that's because I'm spelling it with an I.
Yeah, don't spell it with an I.
No, there's no Jim J. Bullock. Jim J. Bullock is not in he's not in Wikipedia.
Maybe he's not that well known anymore.
Hold on, let me put in J. Bullock.
Why don't you go to IMDb?
Wait,
and put in Too Close for Comfort.
Is it Jim J? Is J like J-A-Y or is J an initial?
J is an initial.
Oh, all right, hold on. Oh. All right, hold on. Jim J. Bullock.
I'm kind of wondering what the point was of all this.
I don't know. You're right.
See, I told you.
Jim J.M. Jim J. Bullock. I had no idea. Oh, and he's still alive. I didn't know that.
But he's not that old.
I thought he was dead a long time.
Oh, no,
I thought he'd been dead. Boy.
Well, his career's been dead.
This is fascinating, isn't it? Freaky. Do you know who he looks like?
Who?
This will mean nothing. This is only relevant to like 12 people. Only like 12 people, even though I'm not talking about.
Well, all the listeners today.
He looks like Todd the Corpse. Todd the Corpse looks like Jim J. Bullock.
Could be a body double for Jim J.
It's
Bullock.
It's true.
If you wanted to.
You give Jim J. Bullock short hair, horn-rimmed glasses, he is Todd the Corpse. All right, well, there you go. He was also a noted streaker on college campuses, apparently. I'm talking about Jim J. Bullock like he's dead. But Jim J. Bullock is sort of like Jim J. Bullock and Charles Nelson Reilly. Paul Lynde is another one of those guys where I just know Paul Lynde as being a guy who made hilarious and sort of crude references to things on Hollywood Squares.
He's on Bewitched.
Yeah, totally. Uncle Arthur.
Uncle Arthur.
Exactly. So, anyway, Paul Lynde dead, Jim J. Bullock alive, now Charles Nelson Reilly dead.
And his long-term partner is his only survivor. His name was Patrick Hughes. Now, the second is something that we know, and we don't have any sound clips because they go back. The reason we don't is because they go back to KOTK, and we had to all leave there abruptly. Therefore, we have no tapes of those old times.
And we couldn't get a hold of Ed Till in time. He's
right.
Busy with his flourishing stand-up comedy career.
So if you remember the old KOTK days, you'll remember Mark Marshall, who was on with Ed Till quite a bit.
Yes.
He was also a newsman and filled in on just about every... He's known basically in this business as a utility man. You can put Mark on anything.
Totally.
And he'd do very well.
Let's not forget his glory days co-hosting with Kenny Vance.
Oh, that too.
I'm sure that's what he'd want to be remembered for.
Also, what he's probably best known for was what he liked to do the best, and that was hosting play-by-play for high school basketball.
That's totally true.
He would travel for like hundreds of miles and make no money to host high school because that's what he loved to do.
Love of the game, one of those guys. Now, I think...
Well, Mark Marshall's hilarious.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, this... And I made this reference early in the first hour, by the way, that as sort of a fill-in weekend... Not a weekend, but a part-time utility guy. A guy who would...
KWJJ.
Who would just do anything. A guy who would fill in a pinch and who never really...
But don't get in the way of his high school play-by-play.
Yeah.
Because he'd be gone in his car.
And a guy who was underneath the radar sometimes,
yeah.
A guy who, again, was a big filling guy, he would appreciate in a strange way the fact that we are doing this on a Memorial Day, that he is here, even in death, he is here filling in on a holiday. He is here helping us out. I'm pretty sure this is the first snuff watch we've had of somebody we know.
Yeah.
Is that the case?
Mm-hmm. Since I've been here.
I think so.
He was a young guy, too. He was only 46.
46? Boy, that'll creep you out.
And he had a wicked sense of humor. I love talking with him.
The thing about Mark Marshall, and again, it's not like I'm some expert on Mark Marshall, and he was in the Portland market long before I got here.
As a matter of fact, the reason why I'm here is because of Mark Marshall, because he recommended me to Bruce.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, way back when.
So now, where did you know him? Oh, from Medford, probably.
No, I knew him. I worked with Mark in... two stations, and most people work with Mark at least two or three stations. I knew him from KLYC, a very down point of my career. It's not even on my resume. And KUIK, which is a little bit better, but not quite there. Anyway, I knew him from both of those stations, and Mark wanted to leave once again to do high school football, which he always did every fall. He did high school football somewhere throughout his career. And Bruce Agler, the program director, who am I going to get to replace you? And I was the one that he recommended.
So, and the thing about Mark Marshall is, and again, if you are a Portland talk radio fan, if you listen to it, and just a radio fan in general.
You heard him on KXL, too.
He's one of those guys. You know what he is? Mark Marshall was the radio version of a character actor.
Mm-hmm.
One of those guys, like a JT Walsh or a Mike Starr. And how many times do you hear about those actors where they go like, well, okay, you don't know his name, but I mean, if you saw him, you'd know who I was talking about. That's Mark Marshall. If you heard Mark Marshall's voice, and again, I regret that we don't have any sound of him.
Can you play that on intercom.
Thank you, intercom. Thank you for denying us the tribute to a fallen co-worker. Because the only person we know that really would have sound is Ed Till.
And he's no longer in the business.
Because Ed worked with Mark for a while at KOTK, and Ed was like this obsessive compulsive freak who saved literally every show he'd ever done on CD, but he's in Long Island somewhere doing stand-up comedy. And
As Edward Till.
When he's not
a little bit more formal than he was back then.
When he's not working, when he's not tearing tickets at the front door, probably. So we have no sound of Mark Marshall, but if you'd heard his voice, you would know exactly who we're talking about.
Well, everyone's heard him.
Yeah, and the thing about Mark is,
he did have, like, when you first met him, he just seemed like the driest. I don't mean this as a knock, because I will explain what I'm talking about in a second. When you first met him, he just seemed like the driest, sort of least interesting person you would ever meet. And then every so often, though, he would say something, and he would just, he had just like this very, very low-key, deadpan sense of humor, and he would just say something every now and again. There was like a depth charge where you wouldn't quite get it right away, and then about 10 seconds later, you would realize that he had just said something horrifically hilarious and insulting to you, but you wouldn't catch it right off. So that's what I remember about Mark Marshall. This is, oh wait, with the whole, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show our godlike former program. Why does this not want to play? Our godlike former program.
Because it's a holiday, and you're here to be tortured. I already had mine today.
Mark is cursing our studio. This is our godlike former program director, Bruce Agler. Hello, sir.
Oh, good afternoon. It's kind of a sad day, though, to think about losing Mark, you know?
Yeah.
The ultimate utility player. I mean, he worked for, like, every radio station in the Willamette Valley at some point, you know, Corvallis and Albany and Lebanon and Sweet Home and Salem, when those Salem stations used to be Salem stations, and he worked everywhere, and he worked for most Portland stations, I guess, at one time or another.
Well, I think, I don't know, how long was he in the Portland market?
Oh, I don't know, since he was a kid, I guess. I think he started doing radio when he was in high school.
You know, I mean, everybody within the sound of my voice, if you spent any time in Portland at all, you have heard him, even if you didn't know it. You've heard him doing something.
But as you say, probably nobody remembers his name. You probably do have some of the news, because he would fill in for Tim on the News Hour sometime. If you dig into the Rick Emerson archive somewhere, we might have him doing it. Having Mark do the News Hour was always an odd situation, because, as you say, he had such a dry sense of humor that he never seemed to... it seemed like the obvious jokes he wouldn't get, and then he would make all these jokes that nobody else would get.
No, and it's like he was sort of like, in a way, he kind of had that Bob Costantini thing going on, where you kind of had to learn how to work with him because he was so different, let's say, than Tim. But yeah, Tim would be gone sometimes, and Mark would fill in, and it was just, and he just, again, just had the driest, most deadpan sense of humor. And he would do, like, I'd do 2-3 stories in a row where he wouldn't say anything really funny, and then he would just say something that was just, that went right between the lines, like, right between your defenses, on the fourth story. He was a really funny guy.
The one really funny story I remember about Mark was during that brief period of time that Ed Till was doing his show from KOTK, and that was probably the highlight of Mark's career. He got to actually co-host with I don't even know why Ed sort of brought him in as a co-host. Mark's just supposed to be doing the top of the hour news, but for some reason Ed loved him and brought him in, sort of made him a co-host for the few weeks he did the show in Portland. And I don't know where this started, but Ed was talking about nicknames. And Mark brought up the Seinfeld show where George wants everybody to call him T-Bone.
Right, and they call
But instead everybody insists on him Coco.
They call him Coco, right.
And wouldn't you know, it all comes down to where everybody's Mark Coco.
So,
he absolutely hates.
I'm sure there was an interesting call on it.
Bruce is on his cell phone in the woods somewhere.
There you go.
No, seriously, Bruce is out hiking somewhere.
Really? All right, Bruce, we lost your call. We're losing your call there. Bruce Agler, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
All right.
So once again, we say goodbye to Mark Marshall and Charles Nelson Reilly.
So, and that's, you know, Mark, you'd know that that's how he'd want to go out. In the same sentence with Charles Nelson Reilly on Memorial Day. So there you go. There's your double snuff watch, Charles Nelson Reilly and the late Mark Marshall. Snuff watch for Monday. All right, there you go. It's 503-733-2970. And now I'm just getting a bunch of email about the Charles Nelson Reilly and Jim J. I get an instant email from Todd the Corpse where he says, Rick, for crying out loud, I don't look anything like Jim J. Bullock. I'm sorry, Jim J. Bullock. Stop it.
J.M.
He says, take it back right now. He looks more like Scotty J. I look more like Will Wheaton. And then he says, also, do you remember Jim J. Bullock co-hosting the talk show with Tammy Faye? I know that he did it, but I don't think I ever... Was it a TV show that he hosted with Tammy Faye Baker? Anybody know?
I don't remember that.
I remember that it happened, but I don't really remember ever watching it. So I'm not even sure. I'm not even sure if it was whatever. I don't know if it was a TV show or a radio show. Let's see here. And then he says, and then he sends a follow-up email. By the way, look at this picture of Jim J. Bullock, and tell me he doesn't look like Scotty J. P.S. I hate you. By the way, he sent me a photo of Jim J. Bullock from the Gaydar the Movie site. Oh, my God. Okay, everybody.
We must stop and see this right now. Excuse us, ladies and gentlemen, as we take part in this visual medium.
Sarah, Tim, come look at this picture of Jim J. Bullock.
That does look like
Scotty. It looks like Scotty. That totally looks like Scotty.
With darker hair.
Totally. All right. Okay, Scotty, just in case anybody should ask, you look a lot like Jim J. Bullock.
And not like Brad Pitt.
Not at all like Brad Pitt. Do with that information what you
so
want.
So if we ever do a Jim J. Bullock tribute, we'll know who to ask.
Exactly. Well,
maybe he can make a guest appearance at that concert as Jim J. Bullock.
Jim J. Bullock introducing Great White. Rick, we had to start a band called Jack Russell's Terrier.
I was going to do that, but it seemed lame.
Really?
I let that one go.
No.
I was going to pick it up later.
It was beneath you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, this is the top of the hour, and this is KCMD AM, Portland, Oregon. And we're not dead yet.
There you go. Our legal has been done.
Awesome.
Thank you. Weird. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Well, police say they're not sure that they killed a 4-foot-long, 80-pound lizard that had been lurking in an Orlando suburb for months. But neighbors aren't ready to let their children or pets back inside to see a carcass. A lizard didn't bite anyone, but police officers were authorized to kill it because they're Americans. The officer shot the reptile twice Sunday, but it wasn't close enough to catch whether or not it scampered off back into a pond or it's resting in the woods dead. Even the police are too scared to go check on the lizard. Apparently, it might have been illegally dumped there. So that's the Florida lizard story. Meanwhile, this is strange. Only in Oregon would you hear a story like this. Police arrested one teen and are looking for more in connection with an alcohol-fueled attack on two Latino men in a park. This is from Clackamas County. Where else? They responded to the Wagon Wheel Park in Molino after receiving a report of two men being confronted by a group of 20 to 30 white men in a park. One of the victims told police that a mob of white teenagers began yelling racial slurs and throwing rocks at him and somebody else. Apparently, one of these Latino teenagers got out of his car and tried to run, and then the crowd continued to throw rocks at him and the friend.
Wait,
they smashed out the car's windows and caused $1,000 in damage.
I'm unclear about this. So there's how many of these white?
There are 20 to 30 white people in a mob
converging on a car
with two Latino youth
in Clackamas.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not. I'm
Clackamas County.
Now is this
at Wagon Wheel Park?
I mean, obviously, I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying it just seems.
It does, doesn't it?
It seems really weird. Like, why is Clackamas a hotbed of racial intolerance?
I don't know.
I mean, I don't pretend to be. I'm not a Clackamas expert.
Let's see here.
I'm more of a Toodle man myself. I don't really understand exactly the social dynamics in Clackamas.
Apparently, they arrested some 18-year-old kid named Austin Wright Greenwood, who spat on a patrol car window, urinated on the seat, and repeatedly hurled profane verbal insults at the deputy en route to jail.
But there's only arrested one guy. What happened to the other 30 people?
That's a good question, isn't it?
Who's claiming that there are 30 people? Did that claim from the cops or from the guys who were beaten?
That's from the Clackamas County Sheriff's Office.
Well, that's just weird. You'd think that it would be a bigger story, actually.
I know.
If there was a gang of 30 white kids who were just getting into a ruckus somewhere. Mm. I thought that Clackamas was just sort of united. I thought all colors of trash got along peacefully there.
Well, as long as they go to Mall 205, once they get outside.
That's the new, I don't know, that's the new Mall 205, Tim.
Oh, is it?
It's not the mall.
Is it improved?
It's not the mall that you remember. Oh, no. Rick, you are correct about AM 970. It used to be an alternative station, similar to 94.7 FM, KNRK, called The Beat, KBBT. And see, and then The Beat then became 107.5, where Court from KUFO used to be on.
Oh, was that Gina Court and Rebecca?
It was Gina Court and Rebecca. Mm-hmm. Such a small world. Gina and Rebecca. We're now broadcasting only to the same people. We're now broadcasting to the same people who really cared about, like, the career of Kenny Vance, Ed Till, Mark Marshall, and who care about, who care about transmitter bumps and things. But it's a holiday. So 970 used to be KBBT The Beat.
Yes.
With, I believe, Court doing a morning show. Court then went over to 107.5. with Gina and Rebecca, and did the morning show on 107.5 The Beat with Gina and Rebecca, with whom I worked in Salt Lake City.
Both of them?
Down the hall. In Salt Lake City. I worked about 5 feet away from Rebecca. She worked on one side of me at a bright AC station. And Gina worked down the hall at half of a country morning show. It's very weird. And then we all ended up here. And then at one point, and then they worked on this frequency, and then I came here. It's just very strange. Radio really just is the tiniest incestuous pool of the same 12 people over and over again. Anyway, he says AM 970 used to be an alternative station. When they first went on the air, they ran through a playlist of about 10 or 12 songs, repeated over and over with no live DJs.
Yes, I'm glad that everything's changed.
I'm glad the radio stations here aren't like that anymore. He says, I couldn't tell you who worked for them, but I seem to remember Gustav being on that station. I could be wrong. Signed, not working and lounging in my robe, I am Jeff. Well, thank you, Jeff. All right. It's 503-733-2970. I can't even tell what we're supposed to be doing.
And I guess
here.
At one time this was called Kite.
This station?
Yeah, Kite 970.
Is that from Craig Adams?
Yeah, well, it's not from Craig Adams. I guess it's common knowledge, and I guess, remember Ron Leonard?
Yes.
Well, I guess he was a DJ on there.
Then what was the format of this when it was Kite?
I guess it was disco.
Really? We ought to do, okay, wait, best idea ever. We ought to do a day where we play as many air checks as possible from the various formats this station has had.
Oh, that'd be fun.
I wonder where we'd even find those.
There's some of these old history pages.
Really?
Yeah.
From old, are there air checks actually on there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that is... Okay, during the next break, you got to show me that link.
Okay.
Or maybe you can just play them. We totally ought to. I would love to hear what this station sounded like when it was like an alternative station or an old country station. They had this one format on this radio station. It was the strangest name for a format. I swear to God, this station used to be a format called... I'm not joking here. It was called Straight Country. Which is really weird. I don't even really know what that means, and I'm not sure what the implication is.
Yeah, it's country only for heterosexuals.
Well, that's what I mean. I'm not sure what the implication is about other country formats. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick, I was calling about the Milano story, but ironically, you guys said it was Kite. Was that K-Y-T-E?
I guess. I don't really know. This format, this frequency 970 used to be Kite AM, I guess.
Sure. I think if it was K-Y-T-E, it was disco at one point. Then it went alt-talk, and then it was actually really huge in the alt-talk at one point. And then it did switch over into some, this was previous to the talk, it switched over into like a Merle Haggard type of country thing. But
that must have been the straight country era.
Yeah, and then there was also, some of your listeners may or may not remember, some of the older listeners, that there used to be an all-Elvis radio station in Portland at one time.
Was it?
24 hours a day, all Elvis, back to back to back to back to back.
Now, how long did that last? Because sometimes radio stations will do what's called stunting, which means that they go to some sort of bizarre format just to get media attention for their, so people are paying attention when they eventually switch to whatever the real format's going to be. I worked for a station, boy, this is a living hell. I worked for a radio station that played nothing but Louie Louie nonstop for like 2 weeks, and it was before automation, and so you actually had to be in the studio queuing up Louie Louie every like 3 minutes and 12 seconds. Over and over again all day.
The Elvis thing lasted 6 months, and they would actually, they took a whole day one time and played Love Me Tender, and they played it in every conceivable way. They played it forwards, backwards, slow, fast. It was weird.
That'll make you want to kill yourself as a DJ.
I know. Quickly, about Milano, I grew up there more than 20 years of my life. My parents still reside there.
Uh-huh.
This type of activity is, I mean, this goes on a lot more out there than you would expect.
We're talking about the thing where the 30 white guys beat up on the Mexicans?
Right, and the whole thing of it is that there's a lot of old money out there, and there's a lot of people out there that have just never left the area, and a lot of these things go on, and they will never, ever get prosecuted. And if you guys have the time later on to follow through with it, I'm almost guaranteeing you that a lot of these people will get off scot-free. I dated a black girl and an Asian girl. And it was very well known that if you were to, here's a really good example. 500 people in Malala High School, one black guy for the whole 4 years I was there.
Right, and but you're so, because the stories that there's like these 30 kids, apparently, according to the cops, they were like wailing on these couple Mexican guys, but there's like, according to the stories, like one guy got arrested.
Yeah, and that's how it'll be, and that's always how it's been. I mean, they're just now getting like a Bi-Mart out there, if that gives you any idea. But it's always, those guys will never, the old names and the old money out in Milano and Malala, that's just the way that it's handled out there, and those kids will never be prosecuted.
Out where the buses don't run.
Absolutely.
All right, well, we'll look into it. We'll follow it as it develops. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
All right, there you go. Well, there you go. Part of life's rich pageant, kids. Well, this is Ed McCarthy. I guess we'll just delay our break. We're late, so we're just going to be later.
Do the legal.
It's a holiday. Yeah, thank you to Mr. Legal. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson. Boston Show CNN Radio correspondent Ed McCarthy. Hello, sir.
Well, hello, sir. How are you today?
I am dandy. Happy Memorial Day to you.
Happy Memorial Day to you also.
Big plans for you and the Cathmeister?
Yeah, we just hung out today. Today was typically a day off with my new and improved schedule, as we say. Sunday, Monday now I'm off. So we just hung out. We were at the pool and got back and got the call from Laura Cavizio-Rett, because she's now newly married.
Rett?
Yeah, that's her last name now. That's her married name.
Oh, I see. Like R-H-E-T-T, like Rett, wherever shall I go, whatever shall I do?
Red and Scarlet, I guess.
Yeah, okay, interesting. All right, now let me ask you this. Now, does CNN Radio, do you guys operate on Saturday?
We do, as a matter of fact. In fact, now I'm working Saturday. So.
I had no idea. No one ever tells me anything. All right. Well, just real quick, the only reason I really would tell you is, A, to find out if you had barbecue plans today, and if so, what type of sauce and or rub you prefer for your barbecue.
When I do the barbecue, we've got this barbecue sauce that I like. It's called Old South, and it's really good.
Now, is that a thing? Is that a regional product only? Could I buy that here, do you suppose?
That is a regional product, and I think it's very, very good. I should probably send you some of that and see if you like it.
I'm always looking for that. I'm always looking for a new marinade, a new sauce, a new whatever it is. And then also, and just, this is probably just sort of an epilogue to this whole hideous story we had about this long saga, this Duke lacrosse team and these allegations, and then they were dropped, and then they were whatever. Here's a really dumb question, because I don't even really know. They're talking about how this is sort of the redemption season, because, you know, all of this
chaos.
Which
I think is stupid. Yeah. I think that's a stupid analogy.
It probably is really the bad way to... These guys who kind of got caught up in all of this stuff, were they seniors, were they juniors, how
they're not even with the school anymore.
That's the thing, is they're gone, right?
They're
so this
gone.
Is this
and,
is totally
they
the
call
media
it a redemption season. You know, they panicked and they canceled last season, so they didn't play, and today of course they lost to Johns Hopkins.
So the redemption is sort of over.
Yeah, it was a great season, but it's a bunch of new players. So, of course, you know, that's another example of the media making something big out of something that really is a story that they want to just twine along as they go.
Well, I'm glad we could do our part. I'm glad we could do our part to make something out of nothing. That's what we're here for, my friend. So, all right, what is your beverage of choice in this Memorial Day?
It is a vodka cranberry.
Fantastic. That is your go-to drink. That is your default, your drink of choice.
That is it. Well, we got back from, I'll tell you what, though, I wish I could have a couple of lava flows. We just got back from Hawaii, Kathy and I.
What is a lava flow?
Lava flow has got a little bit of rum in it and whatever else they put in it. Wait a minute. I've got the menu from Duke's Canoe Club in Waikiki. Let me see what it's got here. Let me see if they give you that. If you have time for this.
No, it's a holiday, sir. We got lots of time.
Okay.
I got another 3 hours and... I got another hour and 45 minutes to fill today.
We had a great time, by the way.
Now, just now, are you a Hawaii once-a-year type couple? Is it your first time there?
No, I hadn't been there since 1976. And Kathy had never been there.
So, now, Hawaii is one of those places that I've never gone to, and I've never expressed a lot of interest because it just seems like it would be so touristy.
It is touristy, but it's beautiful.
Really? So it's worth it? I mean, even though it's just overrun with Americans and plastic lays?
Yeah, well, not overrun with Americans. It's really overrun basically with Japanese tourists.
Really? Is that true?
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway, the lava flow, blended pineapple juice, coconut syrup, strawberries, and rum.
Ah, that does sound good. All right, lava flow.
The other one, they don't have the chi-chi on here. I like that, too.
I have this new policy where I'm only going to develop a heavy drinking habit when I'm on vacation. Only when I'm in another time zone. In another time zone, I will drink myself blind.
That's it.
Then I'll come back and it'll be clean living again once I'm back here.
I will have to send you an email picture of me in the outrigger canoe.
Please, please do.
You would laugh.
I would indeed. All right, my friend.
I did well. I was really a little bit nervous going into that thing, but I did really well. They put me in the lead position on this thing.
You're a man of the world, Ed McCarthy. There's no obstacle you can't cross with ease. I want you to enjoy the rest of your day. Say hi to Kathy for us. We will talk to you soon, Ed.
I will. Take care.
Thank you, sir. There you go. Thank you, Dale Paxton. All right. What was that, Sarah?
Oh, I remember in Hawaii we would play whether or not people were just, if girls were slutty or prostitutes. It is overrun with prostitutes.
Really?
Yeah, they're on every corner.
Fantastic.
Hookers everywhere.
Hookers everywhere. That'll be their new slogan. Do you ever do this? Do you ever, well, we've talked about this before. I was driving yesterday and there was a couple next to me in a car. Do you ever play dad or boyfriend? Or actually daughter or girlfriend is actually what we used to call them.
Or lesbian or sisters.
Yeah. All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hi, Rick. I'm Jim. I'm a radiophile.
Hi there, Jim.
I'm just going to let you know that 970 also at one time used to be known as Coin Radio, you know, the TV station, KOIN.
That is true.
And they broadcast Blazer games.
And then at what time would this, when would this have been, sir? With today, because it's a holiday, and so even the tedious and trivial becomes something we can spend 10 minutes on. When would this have been?
Exactly. Well, in 1970, when the Blazers were formed, that's when they started doing the games. And then they went over to Kite Radio, which was around 75, I think. And then, so it was Coin. I don't know about prior to 1970, but I know it was Coin from 70 to 75.
All right, since we are nerding out in a radio center, here's something you may or may not know, Jim, radiophile. And I'm typically not one of these guys, by the way, and I don't need to knock this, but I mean, there are guys who just, their entire, like, what they do, they're just fascinated by radio and the history of radio stations and call letters that move from one place to another. And I know a lot of guys like that. I am not that way, but I know a lot of guys who are. I know a lot of guys who that's what they do. They are fascinated by the changes in radio. Like, for the only thing I will say is this. I know that we used to be on KOTK here. I do know that the KOTK call letters are now in Oklahoma City. That's the only thing like that. But I will say this. There's one little bit of trivia you may or may not know. Do you, Coin, do you know what Coin's original sister station was, sir?
Now you're whetting my appetite. No, I don't.
Coin's original sister station, and I know that this is true because it came to me from Craig Adams, who knows all these things. Coin, K-O-I-N, their original sister station was Kale, K-A-L-E, which is now, I believe, an automated oldie station. I really do sound like one of those guys. Now an automated oldie station in Kennewick, where I used to work. Here's the deal. Because Coin and Kale were both slang terms for money. Kale, of course, is a cabbage-like greenery. And so they would use it like people say, that's a lot of cabbage. Coin and Kale were both slang terms for money. So they were the original sister stations. Coin's still here. Kale now in the Tri-Cities.
Thank you for enlarging my brain, sir.
There you go. Thank you for listening, my friend. Okay. I'm so pleased you're not dead. It's Memorial Day, by the way, in case you can't tell. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We are live. Before we do anything else here, let's...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to death!
Scotty.
End of message.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, our intrepid PA, the one and only Scotty J, as we broadcast live in this Memorial Day. Why, hello, Scotty J. How are you?
Good afternoon. Great.
Are you hungover today?
No, that was yesterday.
All right. So you did. Now are you going to be? So you drank yesterday, but
no, I drank Saturday.
You drank Saturday, but not yesterday.
Right.
Is that because you were too hungover to drink, or because you knew you were going to be working today?
Just because I'm cutting back.
Now, are you? No, you're not. Are you?
Don't lie.
How many cigarettes have you had today?
Around two.
How many cigarettes did you have this weekend?
The smoking is full on, full hardcore.
You're back to smoking at 100%
on a daily basis.
The meter is pegged in. All right.
I've already had two cigarettes, and it's midday.
Do you smoke during the show?
Maybe once or twice on occasion.
Okay. So you do. So you smoke all day long.
I'm a smoking machine.
All right. I'm just fine. You know what? You've made your choice.
At least you're done with it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've made your choice. You are not going to be quitting, and that's fine.
I might be.
You're not. Don't get me started on this again.
We talked about this weekend as a date.
Is your wife thinking about quitting?
Yeah. Who talked about what weekend?
Me and my wife. Talked about maybe this coming up weekend.
Uh-huh.
Quitting.
So you guys reinforce each other's smoking weaknesses, don't you?
Right.
They're like me and Laura.
I want to quit, and she'll keep going, or she'll quit, and I'll keep going, and it just... It's impossible.
How many of your children smoke?
All of them.
Whether they want to or not. All right, zing. Now, that's like Laura and I with our eating habits, you know. Should we eat well? Well, we can get a pizza. Okay.
We've been working on that.
Right on the phone. Right on the, that's it.
Trying to buy healthy food, you know, and milk without the hormones in it.
It doesn't.
All that stuff.
It doesn't. Yeah, get that milk without the hormones. As you're there buying a carton of Marlboros or whatever it is, make sure that your milk is healthy.
And vitamins.
I think, that's the thing about smoking. How many packs do you smoke a day? A pack and a half?
Like three quarters of a pack.
All right, so let's say round it up. Let's say a pack a day. The great thing, in my opinion, about smoking is that if you are going to smoke, it must be a freeing sensation, though, because you don't have to worry about being healthy in any other aspect of your life, because you're going to be dead. It doesn't matter, man. You don't have to wear a seatbelt. You don't have to watch your diet. You don't have to watch your drinking. You can smoke crack all day. It doesn't matter. If you smoke a pack a day, You'll be dead by the time you're 60 or, you know, infirm somewhere, unable to move. So it doesn't matter. You don't have to worry about your diet at all.
Right,
why would you even care?
I shouldn't. I'm looking forward to it, Rick.
That's what I'm saying. Just eat a stick of butter every single day. Just a stick of butter rolled in salt. You know what I mean?
Good.
Just put it in.
Gross, Rick.
Deep fry it. That's all I'm saying. Can I only tell you this? I used to have this, well, I still have this idiot cousin who I haven't. They're members of my family. And I say this, and they'll probably come out of the woodwork, but there are members of my family that I haven't talked to in, God, 20 years, and it's just been fantastic. It's every day is just bliss.
And why is that?
What do you mean?
I mean, why don't have family gatherings once every 2 years or
something? Well, they might. I don't go.
Oh.
They just mean...
You don't go to your family gathering?
No. Why would I? I don't want to see my family.
Are you invited?
Yeah, I think they stopped inviting me, which is fine.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's like when a girl calls you back, and if you don't answer 8, 10, 12, 15 times, eventually they just stop calling. That's how it is with my family. I'll go see my mom. I see my mom, I see my mom enough that I don't feel completely guilty. And my brother and his wife sort of live in this area, so I'm obliged to see them out and again. Rest of my family, F that. I haven't seen them for years. Fine by me. So I have this cousin, though. My cousin and my aunt lived in Vancouver. I'm assuming they still do. But, boy, goddamn, he was just a fat bastard. And his big thing was just to take a stick, not even a butter. Not even a butter. His favorite thing, stick of margarine, dip it in some sugar.
What?
He wasn't even high. He was just fat.
So maybe you liked eating cookie dough because that's the same kind of effect.
It's not the same effect at all. The cookie dough is not at all the same thing. This is, his big thing was just to peel a big stick of, to peel it like a banana. And I know that I'm nauseating everybody, but what are you going to do? We're not on the lunch hour.
Take a huge bite out of it.
No, but he would have to dip it in sugar first. Stick of margarine in the sugar.
That's a heart attack right
now. No, what's even worse? What might be worse? I don't know if this is worse or not. My friend Ben in high school, who would get really stoned, and I've told this story before, but he'd get really stoned, and then he would just open up a big jar of mayonnaise and get a spoon. And you get big tablespoons of mayonnaise.
Okay.
That makes me want to hurl.
Yeah, the worst story of all, though. This might be the worst story of all. My same cousin who used to eat the margarine with the sugar on it, this is how trashy they were. And I know they lived in Vancouver where the bar is sort of either raised or lowered for this, depending on how you like to look at it. His big thing, though, that he would get sick. He'd get a chest cold or the flu or a cold or the sniffles or something. And so my aunt, I don't know whether this was a thing where she was just disregarding, like if she'd never read the instructions, or maybe she decided that the people who wrote the instructions didn't know what they were doing, or maybe she thought it was some sort of groundbreaking homemade remedy. But her whole thing when he would have a cold was just to get some of that Vicks VapoRub and just to have him swallow a teaspoon of it.
Oh, you're not supposed to eat that stuff.
No, you're not. I mean, it's like eating Vaseline, but with with phosphorus in it. I mean, I don't know what that stuff is. What is that, menthol? What is that stuff that's in Vicks VapoRub?
I think mentholiptus or something. Eucalyptus. That's what you're smelling, right? Or menthol.
I mean, as an adult, I've often, actually, whenever, I get a cold or whatever, and it gets it, like, or sometimes you'll be in the supermarket and, like, they'll have a kid. Like, somebody will have their kid, and you can tell, like, if the kid has the sniffles, you can tell they put Vicks VapoRub. You know, has that? Nobody ever forgets that smell. That Vicks VapoRub smell is one of the most, that is one of the most distinctive smells on earth. And so every now and again, whenever I get, like, I will get the scent or I'll get a whiff of that somewhere, and it immediately takes me back to being a kid. And I've actually spent a lot of time wondering what that does to you. Like, if you are sick and your mom has you eat a teaspoon, because he was too small for a tablespoon, it must have been a teaspoon, just a big, like, dollop of Vicks VapoRub right down the hatch. Yes. Which I'm pretty sure says in, like, in huge letters, like, don't swallow.
Yes, like, you might as well drink some gasoline at the same time.
Only. I have no idea what that does to you. I mean, what do you suppose that does to your digestive process? It can't be anything good. I mean, does that just sort of grease everything up?
No.
Is it just sort of a...
burn all the way down.
Maybe. I mean, does it, like, have you ever gotten that in your eye or something? I just don't know. I don't know what they're
smelling it out of the bottle.
I just don't even know. I don't even know what the end result of that is. So there you go. So there's a Hick family remedies That's why I don't spend time with my relatives. In case you want to know, that's why. That story. That story sort of, that is emblematic of why I choose to not spend time with my family. Well, seriously. What, I mean, how
reminds
dumb.
Reminds me of my family.
How trashy do you have to be when you're eating sticks of margarine and swallowing Vicks VapoRub? I mean, now that I talk, now that I say it out loud, they sound like savages. They sound like people living in a cave somewhere, like in Zagreb. It doesn't even sound like they know how to walk upright or use chairs. And I'm related to them. That's my mom's side of the family. So there you go. All right. Scotty, I don't even know why we had you come in here. I was going to ask you something, but now it's gone.
I'm asking how the show went this weekend.
How did Miles Around go when you co-hosted the car show with Dennis Pitsenbarger this week?
I thought it was okay. I was kind of quiet the whole time, basically.
Is there audio?
Yeah, it's in MP3 format in the RES. But,
really? Should we play some of it now, Sarah?
I think we really
should. The beginning is probably the only part I talked in, and the very end I...
Did Dennis just talk too much? Did he not give you
a
lot of opportunity?
No, they've got a specific...
He is a motorman.
...track that they stay on, not to pun a term or whatever, make a pun. But they basically, you know, they just go right on down the list, and when he had a guest in there, I didn't want to interrupt, so...
I don't see it.
It's not in... It should be
Miles Around. Yeah. There we go. Okay. So, wait, hour 1A?
Yeah, that would be the area where I probably...
All right, so ladies and gentlemen, the sound you're about to hear is the sound of Scotty J. co-hosting Miles Around with Dennis Pitsenbarger.
Oh, boy.
This last
probably
Saturday. I haven't heard it. I didn't listen to it at all. I sent Dennis a text. I'm like, please, to be taping the show. Gotta sleep.
I do love that song. AM 970, Solid State Radio. This is Miles Around. If you'd like to, you can always go on the website. It's milesaround.com or give us a call at 503-733-2970. We actually do have a caller, Kirk. I was going to give a little bit more prop about...
is this the beginning of the show?
I don't know. It should have been.
Who's that fellow Miles Around?
Oh, yeah, wait a second.
How much around? That's not even funny. It says H1A.
You got to expand that a little bit.
What do you mean?
Sounds very technical.
Actually, real fast. Jesus God. I'm just trying to find the beginning of the show.
Yeah, that's the problem.
Was that not the... I thought it was the opening song.
Oh, maybe the show began in the middle. Well, I'll just wait here.
Sorry. Fair enough. One of these says it open. There it is, right?
Okay, there you go. All right, let's try this again. All right, here's...
recording shot.
Smell like gasoline. Smells like... Okay, I am a semi-professional race car driver.
Is this the intro?
This is the intro, yes. It's a lot of exciting pop culture car-based clips.
You've got to learn, if you're going to be a race car driver, if you don't listen to losers like you, know-it-all teacher over here.
Okay, I think that's enough.
Now, before you came on, now, had you prepared anything, Scotty?
Well,
had you gone over with Dennis what the show was going to be about?
A little bit. The night before, he gave me a whole, you know, set of things they were going to go over that I read.
Right.
And I also went on and studied the Volvo S80 and the Nissan Frontier King right. Cab, but we never got to those.
Okay.
The show has like 15 different openings.
What is going on?
I don't know. It's very confusing.
With Dennis Pitsenbarger. Program is brought to you each and every...
Does the show ever start?
I don't think so. Full of color.
Well, good morning to you. It is Saturday morning on AM 970 Salt Lake Radio. I am Dennis Pitsenbarger, and this is Miles Around. If you'd like to, you can visit us on the web as well. It's milesaround.com. And if you'd like to call up and give us your thoughts.
Does it sound sometimes like actual pieces of Dennis's throat lining are falling away?
He explains that.
Your feedback.
Oh, yeah, because it's a one-time thing.
503-733-2970.
Normally his voice is buttery smooth.
I actually gargle with razor blades at least once a day and smoke 7 packs of cigarettes at least. I did once to get this fine radio voice. I'm a little
pleasurable to listen to. You should be doing love songs.
The Quiet Storm.
Okay, you totally missed why he said.
Knocking giant holes.
His voice is right.
Get rid of my now remodeled bathroom. For those
he sucked in asbestos fire.
But he sounds like this every week. This is not. He can't blame this on construction.
Story. We do have a great show for you today. We have all kinds of stuff going on. Industry news. I want to talk about two things. Pink ponies. and latest Harley Davidsons. I don't know how that
comes
together.
Don't look at me.
Okay.
But the car show. I don't know.
Ponies.
Mini ponies made me laugh earlier.
He's on an auto show. Of course, we will be talking about in the driver's seat. And we'll be talking about the Nissan Frontier crew cab and the Volvo S.
Was it unnerving that there were people listening, waiting just for you?
Should once in a while. And then of course
I don't think anyone was listening.
Oh, that's not true.
This is a big race weekend. Even
there were people tuning in just for the love of God.
I'm
going to skip ahead.
I can't remember. 100 will be us, and there's my guest that's going to be in studio, and that's Nick Fouge from Fouge Adventures.
He's a chatty Kathy.
Of adventures. This guy has been to, well... Mr. Peterson's not with us.
All right, here we
go. Is he your record? Decided to go off and camp and shoot guns and eat raw meat and
be a
man and do manly things out in the middle of the woods. But, you know, it wouldn't be a show. There just couldn't be an AM 970 if there wasn't for, you know, a certain amount of, I guess you call them characters on the shows. Now, obviously, if you listen to this station, you listen to Rick Emerson every day, every weekday between 11 and 3. The radio program that spawned what I guess you might call somewhat of a radio career that I have.
We're 4 minutes into the show. Where does he get this? Where does he learn this? Just to go on and ramble nonsensically.
It's early in the morning. Not that
I suppose.
It spawned a certain career. Mr. Scotty J. So I want to welcome Scotty J., our, I don't want to say stand-in, our guest host, our guest co-host for the day.
Let him talk.
Jay, how are you, sir?
Good morning, Portland.
I was wondering if you were going to say it the exact same way every time. I don't know what, I forgot to get the sounder from Rick to have you come into the studio. So I goofed up. Scotty, I gave you all kinds of, did you read all your prep?
I read my prep last night, stayed up until the dawn.
Okay, now you're just lying.
I now know a thing or two about cars, you know, like the radiator fan belt and the alternator, you know, reserve.
Have you ever replaced a chrome muffler?
You're a fireball. The energy is coming off you.
I was
going to
be like the WB frog, too, and just say nothing for a second there. But
bearing.
I just want to have put a chrome muffler extender on a car before, so I know a little something.
Okay, now have you ever checked the radiator in a Volkswagen?
No.
Okay, I'm just checking. Yeah, I got a Volkswagen bug. I'm going to need you to check the radiator after the show. Yeah. I just want to know. You know, I want to know more. Scotty, I'm going to...
Have I heard the best?
That's
the
probably the best.
Have I heard the highlights?
No, he's saying that we've heard the highlights, and there must be something
good. Yeah, just like... No, I mean...
It's just like Click and Clack, the Tappet Brothers.
Yeah, it was just kind of there.
Just like that.
That's about it.
I mean, really? There's nothing? Really, to be honest, there's really nothing? Is there anything
exciting? That's okay, Scotty. It's downtime anyway.
I'm saving my energy for this shit,
horrible person.
Maybe
you're sandbagging. you're doing the rope-a-dope. Saving all your energy for today.
Exactly.
All right, there you go. Well, congratulations on co-hosting a radio program. Well done, Scotty. Congratulations.
Now, from what we heard, that was miraculous.
503-733-2970.
Let's break.
Let's break now. We'll come back. Tim Riley, have you more news for us around the corner?
Yes, I have.
Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. It's Memorial Day. We're here. We're live. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Rick, indeed, 970 used to be Coin AM and used to broadcast the Trailblazer games until the late 70s. Then it became Kite, which was first Top 40. Then almost all disco with the wonderful morning team of London and Engelman. All right. Well, there you go.
Ron Leonard was on that, too.
Yeah, so, and he eventually worked with him. He worked at JJ, and then now...
Which is kind of crazy.
Which is totally
weird. He's a big Top 40 DJ, and then he's working at KWJJ.
Still sounded like a Top 40 DJ, though. Yeah. You know, you talk about Ron Leonard, and we really are just... This is total just inside shop talk, talking about just Portland radio people. That guy, he had full-on, like, Don Geronimo Top 40 knowledge. I remember, I remember like, matching wits with him over Archie's trivia, because I got a bunch of rare Archie's records at home. And I thought...
what? I was impressive because I knew the song, because I knew the song Jingle Jangle by the Archies. And then he started, I mentioned the song Get on the Line by the Archies, which I think was the B-side to Sugar Sugar. And he knew it word for word. He even told me what label it was on and what the label on the 45 looked like. It was
an orange label.
Yeah, it was, see, and I didn't know. It was bizarre. It was really weird. All right, then we got this. Well, this looks like something we should preview before we play on the air. This is Rick. I wasn't sure if you'd be interested in this or not, but I have attached an MP3 file of a prank played on KYTE jock Tom Brooks in the 70s.
Sounds zany.
This was one more reminder of how much fun radio was back then. Ooh.
It's a holiday and we have a delay. Let's do it.
Okay. Well, let's do this and then we'll roll the news and then we've got people calling us about whatever. All right. This is apparently a prank played on somebody from KYTE back in the day, back in the 1970s. All right, from Russ.
To heaven.
Good morning. A little bit after 3, Tom Brooks for Karen Knight.
K-Y-T-E.
So I think the practical joke is that they inserted a belch.
Wait a minute. That was not me. What is it? I don't believe it.
You got
what's wrong? I'm going on here no more. I can assure you.
It was just a belch.
That was 3 o'clock in the morning, a live jock.
That's for Karen Knight. Wait a minute. That was not me. What is it? I don't believe it. That ain't going on here no more. I can assure you.
Now, the irony, of course, now is... The irony, of course, if you were just to do it over and over again and, like, put it in mornings with a giggling guy in the background, that's like a 12 share in Portland. So there you go. Big belch. And you're right. How interesting that that proved there's a live jock there. Because he actually noticed something... How sad. In the 70s, that was considered really shocking, and on the edge, there was a belch. All right. Here's Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, at the Ministry of Truth.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
I'm going to put this in your intro, just a huge belch.
Why, that sounds like fun. A train carrying hazardous materials has derailed in Vancouver as hazardous waste slipped off the tracks this morning. At the Belmont Northern Santa Fe Yard near West 39th Street Crossing, the trains remain upright, and they say it's not leaking anything dangerous.
Sure. Well, who would notice? What kind of hazardous waste, do they say?
Well, no. Well, the trend will outdo the Great White Concert in Tootle to begin the Vancouver Hazardous Waste Festival.
The Vancouver Birth Defect Festival will start in about 9 months.
Not that anybody would still do it. Meanwhile... A 20-foot whale carcass has washed onto a...
But after 3, Tom Brooks for Karen Knight.
Okay, go ahead.
A 40-foot whale carcass has washed onto a Central Oregon beach. Apparently, they spotted the whale's body floating several miles offshore. The carcass apparently washed out of the beach near Seal Rock. People spotted it at daylight and started calling in reports. There's a dead whale on the beach. This is a California gray whale. It's been dead for several days. No word yet on what they're going to do with it yet. Maybe they should blow it down.
I was just going
to
say.
Maybe they should bring Great White out there to do another concert.
That's for Karen Knight. K-Y-T-E.
The best part, whale tour.
The best part is, that's technically not a legal ID because they put a word between the call letters and the city of broadcast. Mm-hmm. That technically, that legal...
Lose their license.
Yes, sir. I'm going to file a complaint right now. Speaking of Great White, our friend Seamus phoning in from Colorado. Hello, sir.
Hey, Rick. How's it going?
What's up, brother?
I hear that you're going to do Great White after work on Friday.
I did. And by the way, I can preemptively say this. I did bicycle today, you bastard. So, in your face.
Oh, yeah. All right. I got that part. I know I'm an hour behind.
All
but,
right. Thank you. Yes, Great White Friday in the thriving 731-person population for the metropolis of Tootle.
And it's a couple-hour drive?
I believe it is about 90 minutes, yes.
So you'll be leaving straight from work then?
Yes.
So you won't be biking in the morning?
You know, I don't have... No, but that's on a Friday. No. I can bike to work... And then I can get a vehicle somewhere, or I could bike home. Well, no, because now that I'm thinking about it, F that. Because if Grant went on plane till 10, I don't need to leave. I don't even need to leave here till like 8. So in your face.
Just checking.
No. I'm not like I'm going to go see like Area 655 or whatever that other band is. So screw them. So I'm there for Great White. I'm a Great White purist, sir. I'm there for Great White and Great White only. So the question is, like, if I go to see Great White and Great White, if they say 10, which means 11. Great White plays till 2 in the morning. The question is, do I really want to be driving back from 2? Maybe I should stay in one of the many fine motels in Tootle. All right, here's Tim Riley.
That's Seamus. Thank you.
Well, a man who officials say stole a state patrolman's car and then tried to run down the trooper last night is in the Seattle hospital after being shot. It all began near the town of Marble Mount in Skagit County, where the trooper tried to stop a motorcyclist who sped past him in the wrong lane. The trooper caught up with the motorcycle and ordered the driver to stop. At that point, he tried pepper spray, which didn't work. So why doesn't he just cut the chase and shoot him? Pepper spray never works.
It doesn't.
Never. Get rid of it. Use bullets. Do things the old-fashioned way.
I'll spray you.
We need to get back to basics here.
Spray people with lead. Why? Well, you know, every time we have a story about this, when is the last time we had a huge... You're totally right. When is the last time we had a story where they said a taser was used, which completely and totally subdued the suspect?
Right.
You know, pepper spray, which rendered the use of further force moot. Never.
It's a waste of time.
They skip right to a machine gun. That'll be the first thing they go for. Some guy jaywalks, shoot him.
As it should be. Meanwhile, you're probably wondering what Lindsay Lohan is up to, aren't you?
Yes.
She was involved in one car accident in Beverly Hills. Lieutenant Mitch McCann said when they got to the scene, investigators found Lohan's car unoccupied.
Officers tracked Miss Lohan to the local hospital where she was ultimately placed under arrest for 23-152 AVC, driving under the influence. Due to the fact Ms. Lohan was admitted to the hospital for her injuries, she was subsequently cited and released on this misdemeanor charge.
They discovered contraband in her Mercedes.
It was a usable amount of illegal narcotics that was preliminarily identified as cocaine.
Yeah, I'm sure in further investigation it's just going to be
like they've never seen it in Hollywood.
No, of course, we think it might be cocaine.
Very rare there.
Celebrity glove box. We're not sure. Okay, a couple things. A... Well, a usable amount, that actually does beg the question, is it legal to have trace amounts of cocaine? Because, you know, there's that urban legend, probably just an urban legend, about how like 20% of $5 bills and like 80% of $100 bills have cocaine residue on them. I always wondered how much you have to have for it to be illegal. Secondly, what is this crap about her being cited and released? If you get a hit for DUI, like here, do they stick you in jail?
Yes.
I mean, I don't remember
Lindsay Lohan.
I'm sorry, I know, but I'm very unclear about this whole thing, especially because it's DUI, it's possession of cocaine, and it's leaving the scene of an accident. It might in fact be reckless endangerment. I mean, I don't mean to second guess the Sunset Strip police and all, but I mean, it seems very strange. And of course, she didn't.
Well, if it's somebody walking in L.A., it's probably somebody who doesn't matter. So it's really
the maid. It's just the help.
So why should they be concerned?
I suppose.
Not Mercedes on Mercedes car crashing. We're talking about here.
No, Mercedes on Mercedes violence has to be stopped.
There's a video of it too, of her running from the scene of the crime.
Let's see it.
It has profanity.
Did they give her a test to determine if she was drunk?
Now, let's see here. It doesn't say.
I mean, how do they cite her for DUI if they didn't test her?
They must have then.
I mean, so do they... I'm so confused.
They took her blood work.
Okay, so she's driving.
Yes.
She hits something on the Sunset Strip.
A tree or a bush or whatever.
She gets home transient. She gets out. And how does she get home?
That's a good question.
Does the driver come and pick her up? Does somebody come and pick her up? Or does she walk home? She doesn't take the bus. I wonder how she gets home. Do the cops then go to her house and drag her downtown and test her, I wonder? I wonder how that works.
I think they found her at the hospital, so I think they probably got her blood work at the hospital.
Oh, okay, that's her. Okay, she was injured. All right. Okay, no, that makes sense. We were talking about this earlier. I just don't understand. If you're a celebrity, why would you not just pay somebody to drive you everywhere you went? It seems like 800 times out of 801, that's exactly what happens here, is that... You know, these things are always discovered when there's a car wreck of some kind. I mean, that's the deal with Paris, too. That's why Paris is going to jail. So it just seems like you ought to, you know, hire a driver and then use it.
All right, here's tomorrow.
Her estranged father, Michael Lohan, said when he heard about the incident, he made up his mind. He had to find a way to get a message to his daughter.
I'm here for you. I love you. And this is about love and forgiveness. It's nothing else. I'm your father, and that's all that matters to me, is being your father.
I bet. What's Dick Cheney up to today, you ask? Well, he addressed the graduating class at West Point.
Thank you all for the welcome to West Point. I'm delighted to be here again and to join in today's ceremony.
I'm sorry about your imminent death in Iraq.
The newest graduates of the greatest military academy in the world.
Yeah. Creepy.
He said the graduating class has already made their country proud.
Graduates, this is a proud moment in your life and in the life of our country. I count it a privilege to be in your company. And I bring warmest congratulations from our Commander-in-Chief, President George W. Bush.
Did Dick Cheney serve in the military?
No,
of course not. Why would Dick Cheney? Why would we want a vice president who served in the military? That's just foolish. What am I thinking?
That's silly.
Sorry, I shouldn't have asked. I should have known better.
This is only the beginning for the graduates.
Today, the class of 2007 leaves behind its leadership duties to the Corps of Cadets and takes up leadership duty to the United States of America.
Okay.
Well, this has been Memorial Day weekend, and, well, this is a great day to barbecue here in the Fort Lauderdale area, where it's kind of chilly out there. We have rain and some wind, but other than that, it's a fine day to cook out. One of the experts of barbecuing, Jamie Perviance, says that charcoal grilling is more popular than ever. One reason is because charcoal brings out the best taste in food.
But I think it's also the experience, the act of building your own fire, controlling it, getting the different heat zones that you want. That's really gratifying. That gives you a lot more pride in what you're cooking.
This guy sounds creepy. This guy is unnervingly into his charcoal fire.
You need to have different heat zones on your grill.
You certainly want to have some direct heat and some indirect heat. Mm-hmm. Direct is really good for searing the outside of the food and developing all kinds of rich caramelized flavors. But indirect heat is really good, particularly for larger pieces of meat that you want to cook more slowly.
Isn't that right, Tim?
Yes.
See, I don't know what caramelizing means. I guess up until this very moment, I thought caramelized meant to have caramel on it.
Oh, no.
You laugh at me, you sons of bitches. What would you think if you didn't know what caramelized meant? That's like saying, this has been chocolatized. Wouldn't you think that was covered in chocolate? Caramelized sounds like it's covered in caramel. What does it mean?
I don't know.
You don't know. It could mean covered in caramel. Yeah, in your face. All right. It's Tim Riley. So-called newsman.
Grocery stores are still overwhelming to men. Yes, most men are completely overwhelmed in a recent report entitled Men in Grocery Stores. It shows that men shop inefficiently, which leads to missed sales by retailers. Many men have difficulty finding items for go buying rather than to purchase in a risky... Who wrote this? 41% of men say they do some grocery shopping. That's a jump from the 61% in 2004.
Go back to the other sentence. I found that other sentence especially fascinating.
Unlike women, men tend to hone in on specific things they want to buy instead of surveying the entire aisle. Men also tend to bristle at the overwhelming number of choices in grocery aisles, with the cereal aisle being one prime example. One guy was almost having a nervous breakdown choosing cereal. Says Brad Dorfman, who wrote this article.
Brad Dorfman. Is it like a guy? Is he a really short guy who stands next to Harvey Korman in the coffee section? All right. No one has a nervous breakdown trying to pick out cereal. This is a
because all men do. They have a terrible time shopping for groceries.
All men are Chinese waiters. This is a stupid article with made up facts. You know what it is? I think it's quite the opposite. I think women tend to be more impulse buyers. Mm-hmm. I think men list. Men create lists, and I think women are impulse buyers. I really do believe that that's the case. I think men, this is a generalization, but I do believe that men just find the infinite varieties of things to be kind of pointless. I think men find the idea that there's 700 different variations on a certain product to just be stupid. And I think men are very much about cutting to the chase and just buying, it like, you know, I think men will go for like a generic item, for example, far more often than a woman will. I think women are very into brands. And to varying types of products. I think men are very bottom line oriented, I think.
Well, this article says, if you want to attract urban professional males, you have to have a lot of Gatorade in there.
Does it really say that?
Maybe it's out of the window that says, we leave the toilet seat up.
Have some Lucky Charms, now with extra Gatorade. Hi, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, Rick. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey, I can answer your question about what it is to caramelize something, if you like.
Okay.
Well, when you're sauteing, like, mushrooms or onions, as you saute them for a longer period of time, the natural sugars that are in the vegetable will kind of sweat out of what you're cooking, and it will literally caramelize. And that's it.
Okay, this is the very definition of a circular answer here. When you're saying what happens is the sugars caramelize. Okay, what does it mean
inside of a tree?
That doesn't make any sense at all. What does it mean to caramelize? And when you say the sugars will caramelize, what does that mean?
Well, they'll kind of thicken up and I don't know.
See? You don't know what it means.
I was saying it's for a long time. And, you know, I mean,
trying to be difficult. I'm saying it's a circular definition. Okay. If I said, what does it mean when something caramelizes? And you go, well, it's the juice comes out from the outside. And it caramelizes. That's basically what he said. That doesn't answer the question. What does it mean to caramelize?
Well, I will say this. Like, if you like to have sautéed mushrooms on your steaks or whatever, like, if you only sauté them for 5 minutes versus, like, 20 minutes,
yes,
they do taste a little sweeter. And, I mean, it definitely tastes better. It changes the flavor. So there's definitely something that happens as the water gets cooked out, and, you know, the sugars do, you know, caramelize in the same way that, you know, regular sugar does when you're, you know, making grandma's pralines and stuff.
So confused. I'm not trying to be disproportionately angry about it. I'm saying it's just frustrating. So it has something to do with the sugar coming to the surface of whatever it is you're cooking.
Yeah, it gets sweated out, it gets sweat out of the...
Well, that's just a revolting phrase.
Yeah, I would like some sweaty mushrooms, please.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right, thank you. Bye. All right, genius. Let's do one more from Tim Riley here, and then we'll break.
Well, it was a good time for it. That was the station ID, wasn't it? It's right at the top of the hour.
It was.
Portland director Gus Van Sant didn't win the top prize at this year's Cannes Film Festival, but he didn't walk away empty-handed either. The jury awarded a special prize to Van Zandt for his impressionistic Paranoid Park, which depicts a teenage skateboarder whose life is turned upside down, but he accidentally kills a security guard. This sounds awful boring. I guess Van Zandt won an award because I have to give him something. He recruited untrained actors on the MySpace and shot the film in Portland just in a few weeks.
Who is this, Gus Van Sant?
Yeah, the guy that got arrested.
Oh, that's why I stopped caring.
Yeah.
So I heard Gus Van Sant and my brain turned off. Mm-hmm. What is the last good movie Gus Van Sant made? Anyway.
I Own Private Idaho.
Yes. There you go. I'll take 20 years ago for 1,000. All right. That's lots of caramelizing calls. This is. Remember, I said the other week that the great thing about this, audience is a disproportionate anger. Here's an email. Look, effer, about Lindsay Lohan. They didn't arrest her because she needed to go to the hospital. Hospital, ass, it says in all caps. Okay, well, that's not. But they arrest all kinds of people to go to the hospital, don't they? I mean, don't there's some people that go to the hospital and then they get arrested anyway?
They charged her. But they didn't arrest her. Because she's still getting... I have some pictures on my blog that
so
I found
confused.
Of her this morning, a.k.a. last night, already completely wasted out of her mind in the passenger seat of a car, falling out.
Alcoholism doesn't take a holiday, sir.
Yeah.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is just calling up caramelization. That's when sugar starts to burn. So
caramelized sugar is burnt sugar.
It's burnt sugar, but it's just not to the point. I mean, it's a very quick stage going
through.
Sort
of a toasted sugar.
Sort of toasted sugar, and then you can definitely burn it, and then it's pretty acrid tasting. So.
All right, excellent. Thank you, sir.
All right, bye.
All right, hi, Jennifer. Do you concur?
I do actually. We make something with caramel every Christmas, and what happens is we put like a couple cups of sugar in a pot and put it on the stove, and you basically heat it. It goes into a liquefied substance, and then it turns into kind of a rock hard.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it goes rock hard, then liquid, and then it's caramel.
So this is... Okay, so that was going to be my next question, is how does this relate to the actual food, caramel?
Well, helping to understand where caramel comes from, which is basically sugar heated.
Yes.
And I think that the sugars in, like, an onion, like he said, they sweat out, I guess. So basically, if you heat it long enough, the sugars then in the onion become caramelized. So therefore, calling it, it may just be a term that they use. So does helping understand where caramel comes from, the sugar help?
Or yes. No? Yes,
okay.
It does.
Okay.
Jennifer, thank you so much, and happy Memorial Day to you.
You too. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Anything you'd like to weigh in with, Tim? Would you like to make an observation?
Well, I always learn a lot in this program. Even if I don't ask.
It's talk radio for the ladies. Fantastic. Back after this, second break.
Talking about knitting.
I have this stubborn stain, and the club soda doesn't seem to be working. At least you'd be telling me. All right, back after this. Inexplicably, we will come back with more of this program. Jim Roper on the corner. More from Tim Riley. The top five. Tom Likas is three. It's Memorial Day. We're here. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's Buck Sherry. Emerson Radio Program. Thank you for coming along. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Let me just print this here. There we go. Hey, Scotty, I am at this moment printing out today's top five. It's going to Becca's printer. If you could bring that in, that would be fantastic. I mean, fantabulous, as they say. In just a moment, I say, looking at the phone, we'll be joined by Jim Roop. Already 4 minutes late on calling us.
That's good, because we're 4 minutes late coming back.
Really? I hope he's not going to ignore us, because we do need lots of information about the life of Jim J. I keep saying Jim J. Bullock, and it's not. It's Charles Nelson Bradley. Let's see, Rick. About Lindsay Lohan catch and release. In many jurisdictions, if the cops take you into custody, they become liable for medical treatment expenses. Naturally, the cops don't want to pay for that. Later, at the discretion of the DA, they may take her into custody. Also, in many jurisdictions, trace amounts of cocaine or other drugs can be used as prima facie evidence of possession of controlled substances. So if the cops are just looking for an excuse to jack you up, they may have one. Scotty, can you hold on a second? I'm sorry, by the way, he says deviated septum. Do we know what the deal with Roop is? Have you heard from him?
I have not.
Do we have a number to reach him?
I can try his cell, so I'll do that.
Sarah, should we try his cell, or is that going to irritate Laura?
Oh, I'm sure Laura's already gone.
All right, excellent. Why don't we try Roop's cell and see if he wants to weigh in with observations of the passing of
okay.
Charles Nelson Riley. Not of Jim J. Bullock, who lives. Jim J. Bullock's still alive. Thank you. Let's see. What else do we have here? Rick, it is Memorial Day, by the way, and hello and howdy to you. He says, you probably really don't care. I just got home from working on that train derailment in Vancouver. There were only three cars on the ground, and they were carrying liquid propane. Nothing fun at all. Nothing that toxic. That part of town could use a nice cleansing explosion, he says. Let's see. Signed Andy in Vantucky. This email says, Rick, here's another one. I'm not at work anymore, so I'm not listening right now. Thank you. But I wanted to say, go Mini Horse. If you haven't seen that Robin Big Show, though, you really ought to. It really is a pretty great program. And I'm not a huge fan of reality television, but it is pretty fantastic, because they don't really make any bones about the fact that it's not like it's not reality programming in the sense that like the real world or something is, where you're supposedly getting like the unvarnished reality of how people behave, you know, in their most private moments or whatever. Clearly, the producers of this show, because I've never even heard of the guy, Rob Drydeck. Yeah, I guess he's like some professional skateboarder.
And his best friend's like his bodyguard, right?
Chris Boyack, I think his name is. They call him Big Black, and he's just this huge black man. I mean, he's 385 pounds. He's like a big, black man.
I just see the one where they tried to teach his dog how to skateboard.
Yeah. See, that's funny.
That was cute.
And obviously, there's somebody who just sort of feeds them ideas because those guys just sort of they know how to play off of it. So if you do, if you have a chance to check it out, I would encourage you to do so. Let's see. I'm actually just sort of killing time. If we don't get Rube here in a second, we'll just go to the top five. I'm actually at this very moment. I'm just sort of filling while Scotty sees if we're going to pull Rube in this segment or not. Is that a big no? I'm looking at... The line was lit.
I know.
Now the line is empty. Not looking good. Well, you know what? That's fine. You know what, Scotty? We'll just roll with the top five if you can do that. Do we want to? Do we feel like it's not? At some point, I've got to get an.
We've got to get a talk back.
I've got to get an intercom system in here. All right. Hey, Scotty, can you do me this favor? Really? Yes, I know. He's placing blame on the screen right now. Yeah, I understand. All right. Well, do me a favor. Scotty, go ahead and why don't you come back to the studio here? Why don't you come down the hall? Scotty's so great when I say, like, why don't you come to the studio? And he takes time to type on the screen that he is coming to the studio. Hi. Hello, Scotty Jane. How are you today?
Yeah, the nice thing, if we did have an intercom, we should mask it like a computer voice so it would be like your computer was talking to you type of thing.
That's a dumb idea.
Thank you.
All right. It's 503-733-2970. Here's what we will do. We'll do the top five here. Then we'll break. We'll come back. Tim Riley with the bottom of the hour news. So you are going to be the Tim Riley for today's top five.
Sweet.
Because, oh, wait. Oh, see, and of course.
I left a message on his cell phone, ringing. You see.
All right. Do we just want to assume it's Jim?
I think it is.
Let's welcome to the Rick.
From Los Angeles, I hope.
Hello. How are you, Mike?
Oh, hello. I didn't know if it was you or not. We answered the call blind.
Did I?
All right. Hello, sir. How are you on this fine Memorial Day?
I am well, thank you.
All right. Hey, so Charles Nelson Reilly, dead.
Yeah.
I thought he was dead a long time ago.
I thought he was older. Here, he was only 76. I thought he was at, 80 at the very least.
Well, he's one of those guys that just seemed old even back when he was younger. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
That's true.
I keep forgetting him. I keep confusing him today with Jim J. Bullock. I don't know what it is. Did you know that Jim J. Bullock spells Jim with no I?
What do you spell it with?
It's just J-M. It's
really?
Just Jim J. Bullock. Jim J. Bullock doesn't use an I in his first name. I don't know why that is. And to me, like, here's the thing. God love Charles Nelson Reilly. But the most entertaining thing to come out of his life and his legacy today is the fact that I keep confusing him with Jim J. Bullock, and then Tim Riley pointed out that Jim is spelled with no I, and that's the thing that I fixated on today.
Are you sure that's not a typo in whatever
you know what?
He's reading?
I went to the Internet Movie Database and to Wikipedia, and they both list him as Jim J. Bullock with no I in it.
Oh, there you go.
It's fascinating. I don't even really know what that guy does. He did a show with Tammy Faye Baker, and now that's not on the air. And see, here we are again, talking about Jim J. Bullock and not Charles Nelson Reilly. What did Charles Nelson Reilly do before he was on Hollywood Squares and the Match Game also? Because that's really
he's
only...
a Broadway actor.
See, that somebody else said that, but I don't
he's
remember.
I think he's got a couple of Tony Awards.
Is that did somebody said it was from How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying.
Possibly. But he's also been directing. He's a very accomplished stage director. He really made... I mean, game shows... Because of guys like Paul Lynde and Charles Nelson Reilly and Brett Summers and those people who couldn't get real jobs to save their lives.
Totally.
They made those game shows what they were. You know, Hollywood Squares, Match Game, whatever other game shows there were that involved celebrities, Password. I mean, they're the ones that really made those game shows something to watch.
You know, those there really aren't any... I'm not going to say that that's true. I was going to say that there aren't guys like Jim J. Bullock and Charles Nelson Reilly and Paul Lynde around anymore, but that's not really true. I guess, if anything, it's the opposite. I guess it's guys like that are less noticeable today because, especially in the advent of reality television, there's a million guys like that.
But they aren't as good because guys like Charles Nelson Reilly and Paul Lynde and you know, Charlie Weaver, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys, they had such quick wit and could give you some great innuendo and not have to hit that dirty line to get the laugh.
I think, and in a weird way, it was sort of a mixed blessing, because I think one of the reasons, I think this is just true. I think it's a mixed bag these days, because I think one of the reasons why guys like Paul Lynde and Charles Nelson Reilly were so funny is because, I don't want to say they were closeted, because I think everybody, I mean, come on. I mean, everybody, Paul Lynde, I mean, everybody knew that guy was gay. I mean, Uncle Arthur was completely gay. Everybody knew that. But at the same time, it was like an open secret. It was that thing that everybody kind of knew, but you didn't really say. Like, they couldn't ever really come out and say they were gay. I mean, even as late as the 80s, when Elton John said that he was bisexual and had a huge backlash in his career. So guys like that had to be sort of, they were sort of in a glass closet, you might say. They were sort of in there, but everybody knew. But as a result, so much of their humor was laying it between the lines. So much of their humor was, like, I remember, I've seen this clip a million times where Paul Lynde was on Hollywood Squares, and they were asking a Tarzan question. And he made some joke about, you know, Tarzan on the vine, about Tarzan swinging both ways on the vine, which I guess was great because it was funny, it was witty, it played off of his own sort of quasi-known personal life, and at the same time, it was satisfying because it was a real thumb in the eye of prudes who might be watching, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was a way to kind of stick it to the conservatives out there who might be watching that show. So it's hard to be that way now. It's hard to have that kind of innuendo, and Charles Nelson Reilly did the same thing.
Yeah, you know, you miss guys like that, you know? And it's a shame that with everyone that passes, you know, that you go, geez, you're not going to have that again.
Totally.
You're not going to have anything like that again.
I think of all those guys as being like the Love Boat school of acting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were all on the Love Boat and Fantasy Island, them and Norman Fell.
That's
it. I mean, there really aren't too many of those guys left. I can't think of, there aren't a lot of those guys left of that school of comedy in that era.
Norman Fell was king of the takes, man. He could just give you that take, you know, that look.
Hey, is David Niven dead?
Oh, I think so.
See, this is a recurring theme on this program. We never know who's dead and who's not.
I mean, he was like 185 in 67 when he accepted that Oscar, wasn't he?
I know. Hey, let me ask you this. Here's a little quiz. Mr. Wizard, alive or dead?
Oh, that's a good question.
Don Herbert, alive or dead?
He's got to be dead.
He's alive.
No.
Do you believe that? That's what I'm saying? Do you believe that he's like 98, still alive, and you know what? He's probably still in his kitchen building a nuclear reactor to 3 candles and like a tuna can.
Wow.
I mean, that guy was old when I watched him, and I know that my dad probably watched him before that.
Good Lord.
So Don Herbert, Mr. Wizard, still alive. You can pass that along to somebody. That's your little bit of information from the Rick Emerson Show today,
Bob Keeshan's dead, right?
Bob Keeshan, Captain Kangaroo,
Kangaroo
dead.
Right?
He's dead. So is Mr. Green Jeans.
Well, I knew Mr. Green Jeans was dead.
Yeah, they're.
I had a black and white television. Were those jeans green?
I believe they were. When I was a kid, I always heard this horrific story that Mr. Green Jeans like hung himself in a barn.
What?
I don't know why. They're like, you know, Mr. Green Jeans, he's dead. He hung himself in a barn.
He couldn't get billing over that stupid bunny.
I was going to make a joke. I was going to make a joke about right before. Right before he jumps off the raptor, somebody holds up the stop sign and it freezes. But I'm not going to do that because I'm above that. Rick Emerson sure doesn't traffic in that kind of dark humor. Let's pretend I didn't just make that joke.
Okay.
We'll take it out in post. Big plans on this Memorial Day. I know Ed McCarthy's drunk on vodka cranberry.
Already? I haven't had a chance to start yet. I've actually been working.
He was holding the vodka cranberry in his hand today as we spoke, getting ready to marinate something with some sort of special southern sauce that he's got. So
I know by noon I'm usually, you know, popping a few back, but I haven't had a chance to pop a top off anything.
What do you barbecue with, propane or charcoal?
Charcoal, man.
See, now, I was to understand with propane, you would taste the meat and not the heat.
That's not true.
Is that not true?
That's not true. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't. I just like it because you drink more when you barbecue with charcoal.
It's true.
You know, seriously. And as the honest guy, that's the only reason why. I love the smell of it, number one. I don't think the meat tastes any different because I've had both.
And I go both ways with me. I had to go there. I had to go there.
Bam.
I had to go. I just like it because it takes a long time, and you know, I get to hear this. Is it ready yet, honey?
So it's the process. It's the ritual.
I'm in control. Absolutely, it is. It's just nice to sit back with a, you know, on the porch with a beer, and make the wife go nuts because she's got the salad done, but I'd say the coals aren't ready.
Now do you go with like a regular charcoal, like a mesquite?
No, regular charcoal, but I have the little wood chips.
Excellent. And, you actually use your own wood chips. That is impressive.
Yeah, well, thank you.
All right, my friend. Enjoy your Memorial Day. And we will talk to you very soon. Best to the wife, the family.
Ah, thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Jim Roop in Los Angeles. Fantastic. Both way with the meat. 503-733-2970. Well, that worked out perfectly, Sarah.
It sure did, Rick.
Now we'll... Are you ready to go home? You've got that tone.
No.
You've got that sort of, and I'm ready to leave.
I wish it was a 10-hour show today.
Okay, now you're just screwing with me. All right, we should take a break. Come back. Tim Riley, the bottom of the hour. Then, this top five. We're still going to have you weigh in on the top five, Scotty. These are songs you'll be able to weigh in on. You'll be able to opine on these musical selections. Coming up, Tim Riley at the bottom of the hour. Then the top five from this day in 1977. Likas at 3, Dunamike at 7. We're live. It's Memorial Day. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson radio program at 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Angry conservatives online are protesting the Tootle Great White Show. This is somebody sent me this. This is from Matt. This is from the Tootle Daily News, the letters to the editor section. I swear to God, this is the real name and town that this letter's from. Tex from Cougar, Washington says... This is a quote now to the Tootle Daily News about Friday's upcoming Great White Concert. Yes, it is 2007, by the way. It's Memorial Day. This is a live program. Protesting Friday's Great White Show. Tex from Cougar says, just what we need. Another magnet for attracting noise, fights, and drugs. Now there will be a place in Tootle where all the drug-induced headbangers can raise hell, drink booze, fight, and cause problems. Our hard-earned tax dollars will pay the overused understaffed police officers overtime to come and babysit these raucous hooligans. Instead of patrolling the local streets of Tootle for meth dealers, child molesters, burglars, and so on. What kind of crime rate do you have there?
TRL, Tootle Rocks Live.
Another great use of our tax dollars. Then when we really need help from the police or when we really get something done, the resources won't be there because they were all used up restoring order at this heavy metal, drug, and alcohol-infused rock show. I don't get it. Signed, Tex from Cougar. That is fantastic. I'm going to cut that out and frame that. All right. I'm going to go find Tex and hang out with him when I go to Tootle on Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Memorial Day. Please put your working class hands together for the Reverend Tim Riley.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Well, the holidays and mental health problems go together like apple pie and the flag. There's something that can be done about mental health problems, though, as many in the mental health profession tell us.
We can diagnose it. We can treat it successfully. More and more people know it's a disease. Unfortunately, we need more people to know that.
Yes, mental health can be treated.
It is perfectly possible to treat mild to moderate depression with psychotherapy, talking therapy. There are several kinds. If you have a severe depression, most likely you're going to want to take medication.
Okay. Well, pepper spray won't help.
And treat it with fire.
Yes, you might have a depression problem.
Get a professional opinion, get advice, and then make your own decision.
Okay. Well, done and done. Thanks.
A passenger plane was forced to land after flying into a swarm of British bees. Apparently, there are plenty of bees still left in Britain. A Boeing 737 with about 90 passengers aboard had to return to the airport in southern England. Apparently, the pilot decided to abort the flight and return for safety checks. The plane's engine was clogged with bees. Huge clouds of bees. Haven't seen flying around England.
Oh, imagine that to be that. Do you suppose they clean that up with a hose or just with like a gloved hand? Reaching his... Hold on,
can
let me get a...
Can you feel the engine sputter? Mary, I think it's bees in the engine.
Let me get a squeegee. That tells you not to have a yellow light in front of those engines.
Good God almighty.
Okay.
That's all the disappearing bees are going. They're all...
Where have all the bees gone? I'm sorry, I didn't know. I didn't know where I was going with that.
Well, I guess it's set up this musical countdown, is it not?
Yes. Yes, indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, here's your top five for Memorial Day right here on the Rick Emerson
five,
Radio Program.
4, 3, 2, 1, fire!
Counting is wonderful. Counting is marvelous. Counting is the best thing to do. Happiness, counting is ecstasy. I love to count, don't you?
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Tim Riley of the Ministry of Truth with today's Top 5.
Well, it was on this day in 1977, 30 years ago, that the world changed forever with the release of the original Star Wars. Into what kind of world was this magnum opus released? That didn't sound smooth reading it, did it? What kind of world was this magnum opus released?
No, you
that's
know.
The question.
Here's the thing is...
It looks great in print, but it just doesn't come up right.
Even as I wrote this, in fact, while we're... I'm sorry, before I do anything else here, if you can just... I'm sorry. That...
Another letter to the editor, please?
let's see what Tex has to say about... Why does this not want to play? I can't make my Scotty J sounder play. Well, how am I supposed to get anything done?
Scotty, get in here.
Scotty, could you please come into the studio? Thanks so much. All right. Well, this is troubling me because I'm the one who has to play the music over here. Hold on.
Oh, my.
Scotty, if you could please to be...
Scotty, we're in serious trouble.
He's smoking. Oh, there we go.
Oh?
I just wanted him to weigh in on this. These songs are all of his. You know, but the funny thing is, Tim, even as I wrote that sentence about that magnum opus, even as I wrote it, I knew that it wasn't going to work very well. I'm sorry about that.
Perhaps somebody else.
All right. Tim Riley, this is Tim Riley coming in the top five songs of the day, Star Wars initial release.
May 25th, 1977. With our mention at number six to Fleetwood Mac and Dreams.
So you must have been 5 years old.
I was four.
Four.
Yeah.
4 years old. I was 11. And you? I don't know. How old are you? You weren't even born yet.
Boy, you know, here's the thing about this.
Well, you hit the vocal, Scotty.
I hit the post on that one.
As I was listening to these songs last night, I was putting this stuff back together, I remember the song being a lot better. This album has sold like a jillion copies.
Well, it was standard issue in Suburbia.
Yeah, like it came in the mail?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like this song today, but back in the day when this song was on the radio, it depressed the hell out of me. I hated it.
It's just a boring song. It's just not very interesting.
People actually went to concerts, they heard the song.
Well, I like it now.
The only good song on this album is Go Your Own Way is kind of a good song.
That's all right.
Rhiannon is okay.
Yeah.
This song basically just made me think of... I had a lot of hyperactivity energy as a child, and
no.
It just put me down. Like,
it's just the softest rock you could possibly imagine.
Plus, it reminds me of a crappy day outside, too.
It's just sort of... The smooth sound. It's very light rock. I remember this being a lot better than this, but apparently I was wrong.
It's bland. It's pretty perfect.
It is. All right, here's
the
camera.
Yeah, at number five is Marvin Gaye and Got to Give It Up.
Okay.
Any thoughts on Marvin Gaye's Got? This is Got to Give It Up Part One, by the way.
This is, reminds me of, you know, dancing in what, junior high at this rate. I must have been in, what, seventh grade?
You danced to Marvin Gaye?
Yeah, I'm sure they had this, Donna Summer, all kinds of disco-type stuff like this.
I'm so glad I missed that era. I'm so glad I never had to dance to Marvin Gaye.
I remember Donna Summer. Now, I can't think of the song right off the top of my head, and it started out real slow, so you'd always start out the
Last
song.
Dance.
The, yeah, yeah. You'd start out in the slow dance, and then it'd be, you know, total, you know,
like
dancing.
Come Sail Away. Come Sail Away is like that.
Right.
You think it's you can dance with the chick, and then suddenly it's all, come sail away, and you're like, what am I doing?
You know, a lot of the guys are, you know, at that age, you're not, you know, you think...
By
you,
some guys, we mean Scotty.
Well, you think you hate slow dance, but that was the best part of all. I mean, start out in a slow dance, and it's the one time you can actually get close to the one person of your dreams at that time, and then
creepy.
Bust into it.
You're so creepy.
Song. All that and the whole room smells of sweaty teens.
All that unprotected sex of the 70s, that was before the 80s.
Yeah, there was no thing called AIDS back then.
So good thing there aren't going to be any consequences for all this behavior.
Number four, Casey and the Sunshine Band. I'm your boogie, man.
Nice. You know, I like this song a lot.
I like Casey and the Sunshine Band. Harry Casey, isn't that his name?
Yeah. If they come back to town, you definitely need to go see him. It's, the whole show is, you know, uplifting, full of energy.
Here's the thing. Casey and the Sunshine Band are a great band. They, and I think they got a little bit of a
for
comeback
their five
now.
Songs.
You know what, but... You listen to these songs and try to strip away the cheesy 70s image. These are great songs.
Even in the 70s, I thought, wow, I love that song.
They yeah. sound so much different than that. People think of them as just being disco crap, but it's really not. It is this sort of... I don't even know
the
how to describe
orchestra.
It.
It's like the whole...
Yeah, and it's got the live, huge horn section.
And they do that, of course.
And
they're waving them back and forth.
You know, and they sang Boogie Shoes, which is a great song.
Yeah.
And you know, it's just a real big, full sound. And the thing about... And they got... They didn't make a big deal out of the fact that they was an interracial band. Like, a bunch of white guys, a bunch of black guys. Nobody... But they didn't make... They didn't hinge over the head with it. They didn't even address it. It was not even an issue. And this guy wrote and produced all this... Until he... And you know what? Until that cocaine just got into his head. And that's what decimated this guy, like everybody from that era.
Well, the thing is, he's looking pretty good now, and he's full of energy, and he gets up there, and he puts on a very, you know, energy-driven show, which is fun to watch and drink at. So, there you go.
Number three, the Climax Blues Band. Oh. Couldn't get it right.
I like this song.
It's very 70s.
It's a terrible song.
This one's not quite as bad as the song you played earlier from Fleetwood Mac?
Got to roll, so I hit the road and made my getaway.
This is a terrible song.
It's adequate.
I think it's okay.
It'll do.
This is one of those driving songs, you know?
You're listening to KBBT, 970 AM.
Just passing away the miles.
I wish I could belch on cue. I would totally belch this. Oh, this is crap. Let's move on.
Number two, Leo Sayer, When I Need You.
Oh, I hate Leo Sayer.
It's a 4-minute song. It's a good bathroom song.
I don't like this song.
Leo Sayer.
When I Need You. On the station that brings you joy each and every day.
What was the other Leo? Yes,
you remember. This and You Make Me Feel Like Dancing. Yeah,
that one was okay.
He sang that on The Muppet Show. I remember, see, you remember when we, and I know the answer is no because we tried to block it out, but I remember when you were at Max and you used to make those jokes about how we were going to be 90 wonderful.
No,
and
I don't remember
the format
that.
Change happened.
No, I don't remember that.
You did make that joke. Take my word for it.
Close my eyes.
Oh, the 70s sucked.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. That's the voice of someone who was there.
You know, I was too young in the 70s, but you think back and you go, gosh, I wish I was older in the 70s. So you
could appreciate this masterwork.
There used to be a place in Beaverton called Earthquake Ethel's, and apparently when you got on the dance floor, every so often it would rumble like an earthquake. And, you know, I miss
Why
that.
Would you possibly want to go to a place that simulated an earthquake every now and again? That doesn't even sound like fun.
Sure it does.
All right. These are the top five songs from the day Star Wars was released.
At number one, Stevie Wonder with Sir Duke.
I do like the Stevie Wonder.
This
is a great song. Has this been sampled by somebody yet? Because if not, it ought to be.
Well, they use this all the time for, you know, intros to things or games or whatever.
You know, Stevie Wonder, you know, he kind of sucks now, but that's okay. He's one of those guys like Alice Cooper or the Stones. Doesn't need to be good anymore because, man...
He's Stevie Wonder.
He's Stevie Wonder. I mean, that's his whole thing. He should wear a shirt that says F.U. on Stevie Wonder. You talk about a guy that in his day just made hits with a wave of his hand. I remember, and this is a story that, I mean, this is the whitest Stevie Wonder song, you know, not the whitest, but I mean, it is the most obvious choice. I remember the first time I heard, like, Superstition, though. I was like 10, and it just blew my mind. I mean, I have a very limited taste for R&B and funk, but I remember hearing that song, and it just, like, it just reached inside and scrambled my brain. It was the most insane thing I'd ever heard. Yeah, he's Stevie Wonder, and you're not, so. Up here. All right. Back after this, the Rick Emerson Show. We wrap it up. It's Memorial Day. Don't go anywhere. We return next. Saddest part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Let's see. Well, I got a couple minutes here. So it's that awkward period of time where we have just enough time that I have to do something. Not enough time to actually do anything substantial.
What are you going to do with the rest of your day?
I don't know. I'm going to go for a, I'm going to bike ride because I rode in today. You bastards.
That's what I'm going to do today, too.
I don't know. I got to stay and get some, because I came in late today, and I'm going to stay, and I didn't get as much done as I wanted, so I'm going to do some crap here this afternoon, and then I don't know what I'm going to do, actually. Yeah, I have no plans. I got nothing.
Sounds exciting.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, we rented some movies last night, but we got none of them watched, so that's it. So I'm going to go home and eat a gigantic wedge of pizza. We got that Dina Cola's pizza.
I think I'm going to go home and eat pizza too later tonight and watch David Lynch's new film. I think I'm going to go rent that.
Which is what?
I can't remember what it's called.
Yeah, there you go.
That was in Movie Madness and they have, you know, the section.
Yeah.
I'll find it in there somewhere.
Yeah. Well, let me just read these emails so you get these over the way. Rick, about the guy from Coach and Poltergeist, is he dead? No, that's Craig T. Nelson, sir, and he is still alive. What else do we have? Rick. For the majority of the 70s and until 1981, KYTE AM 970 was also simulcast on 101.1 Kite FM, now KUFO. In 1981, 101.1 went to a classical Beethoven format. Now, that's not true. That's not true. KUFO was never... I don't even know. See, the people are asking me... This is why I need a guy like Craig Adams or Tim, who is vanished... of course.
He's gone.
250, wouldn't even wait for 258, like 254 he was gone. Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. People ask me these radio questions, and I really am just not a guy. For a guy who works in radio, I really don't follow radio all that much. That's why there's a guy like Bruce Agler who knows like everything you could ever want to know about the technical aspect of radio and how it works and how the mechanics of it work and the coverage and the whatever. He knows a lot about the history of it, but he really excels in the sort of the tech aspect of it. And then there's this guy, Craig Adams, who we always refer to, who works, I think still works at K-Hicks. I'm not really sure about that. We don't work in the building anymore. But anyway, he just knows everything there is to know about the history of radio in Portland. So he'd be got to ask about that. Let's see. Our old friend Miranda weighs back in. She says, hey, dear excrement, not all of Hawaii is overrun by tourists, as you had previously bloviated. If you'd done show prep, you would have learned that whatever the opposite of overrun by tourists is, that's Molokai. I would encourage you to follow in Father Damien's footsteps in more ways than one. Father Damien, by the way, who treated lepers and then I believe contracted leprosy himself. Sign, please have an aneurysm. Warmest regards, Miranda.
Miranda.
We don't hear from Miranda nearly as often.
I'm still thinking my story that Hawaii's overrun with hookers.
Well, it's fine with me.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Final email today. Well, never mind. I have no time for the finding email. All right. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely and talented Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970, Solid State Radio in the newsroom, Tim Riley, Scotty J is our PA, and, of course, the gatekeeper is Dave Zinn. We want to thank CNN Radio correspondents Bob Costantini, Steve Kastenbaum, Jim Roop, and Ed McCarthy. It is Memorial Day. We take a time to honor all of America's fallen servicemen, and we wish them and their families all the best memory-wise, and we honor them today with Memorial Day. So the Rick Emerson Show salute you. It is AM 970, Solid State Radio. We'll see you tomorrow, kids. Don't go anywhere.